power to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children. And not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by a committee to elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, Treasurer.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
I am 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. As your alderman, I have listened to you and heard your call. You wanted to see your tax dollars spent in your community. I have answered by allocating more than $180,000 for new sidewalks, street repairs, and pavement. You wanted to stabilize your community. I've answered by building 600 new homes totaling over $126 million and closing down nuisance property. On Tuesday, March 6th, answer the call. Re-elect me, Frank Williamson, 26th Ward Alderman, committed to continue to answer to you. Paid for by committee to re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson, Treasurer.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd, and I'm asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect me as your alderman for the 22nd Ward. Together, we've leveraged over $850,000 in home repair dollars for senior citizens and the disabled. We have the highest attendance at monthly ward meetings across the city every month. We've torn down over 116 dangerous buildings that were neglected for as long as 15 years. We've paved over 47 alleys and streets. 4 years ago, Jones and Ozier said no one would pay $100,000 to move into our neighborhoods, but we've proved them wrong. New homeowners have paid as much as $129,000 for their new home. Together, we're making a difference, and we're making our neighborhoods stronger. Let's continue what we've started. Vote for me, Jeffrey Boyd, on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Whoa! all things ain't what they used to be. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy me, please. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are not.
me. You see, man, I hear some music. See, hamburger, nasty boy. Come back in the money, thanks for thank you for no you go.
Dirty.
It's a lot of possible.
Yanda Sam.
Kikabankana nawe.
Kikabankana nawe.
Kiyamu tanda tanda.
Kiyamu tanda tanda.
For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, picked the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums. For the millions, for the millions.
Speechless, speechless, that's how you make me feel. When I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words, I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel, silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel.
Welcome, welcome. Election day, and already outside it is crazy. At a couple of polling places this morning, and it looks like turnout is going to be pretty good. It looks like turnout, if it's any indication of what I have seen so far, it's going to be a pretty good election. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I know you have your election day reports ready, so let's hear some of them. We're going to take a break here at 454-0400, 454-0400. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. It's election day. It is election day. The heat is on. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 6 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight, you've got some slow traffic pockets going on there as well. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270 Interchange, look for some slowdowns as you get on to 270. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley looks for slow traffic up in North County there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some delays. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center back through Mason, look for some slowdowns there as well. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Doherty Ferry, look for some heavy volume there, especially around the 44 interchange. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, look for some heavy volume there as well. Eastbound 40 between Boone Bridge and Clarkson Valley. Look for some slowdowns. However, it's running at the speed limit at this hour. Eastbound 70 at the 270 mile marker. Look, or at 270 interchange, I should say. Look for some slowdowns as the traffic is merging there as well. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from mid-span on into Laclede's Landing. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, high around 50 this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, low around 30. And Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies. Lambert Fields reporting 28 degrees and some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, more riveting radio with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, girl. You made it just in time. Pastor's getting ready to start.
Girl, I really needed to be here this Sunday.
What happened?
You didn't hear?
Uh-uh.
Well, last week, Jennifer Florida, you know, the older woman?
Mm-hmm.
Her son went into the hospital for brain surgery.
Oh, my God. How old is he?
12 or 13. That's not the worst part. Girl, the worst part is that a bunch of aldermen went up to Jim Shrewsbury, and they asked him to say a special prayer for the child. Because, you know, they always start their meetings with a prayer.
That's right. They asked a special prayer, too.
Yeah, well, not last week. Because that Jim Shrewsbury said no.
What? He said no to a child having brain surgery?
Girl, that's right. And they said it's just because Jennifer Florida and her ward endorsed Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Lord, I'm going to have to pray for Jim Shrewsbury.
Well, I'm going to pray for him, too. But I'm certainly not going to vote for him.
Amen to that.
Paid for by the 6th Ward Progressive Democrats, Paul Shannon, Treasurer.
This is Bill Haas, and I want to be your next alderman in the 18th Ward in the Democratic primary on Tuesday. When I was on the school board, I stood up for people well, and I will stand up for you as your alderman also. Being a good alderman is about hard work and services, and being there for people when you need me to be, and I'm going to do that. I want to put young people without jobs to work, to tear down abandoned houses, and to build affordable houses in their place. And I hope to get the other aldermen involved in helping our schools be better. We need to know who's not in school today and who's supposed to be knocking on their door finding out why not. And who's falling behind in their work and who's supposed to be tutoring them to help them catch up. We should not lose one of our children as a dropout. Let's set our vision high and not take no for an answer. We should show other cities in the country how we make this urban school system work. If these are things you agree with, and I know that you do, I hope you'll vote for me, Bill Haas, H-A-A-S, in the Democratic primary on Tuesday. And when I win, I promise to do my best every day to make you proud that you voted for me.
Paid for by Bill Haas for 18th Ward Alderman Francine Lamont's
Treasury. Previously on this Lone Ranger program.
I will tell you the advice that a wise woman once gave to me for women looking for a good man. First, you find a dependable, hardworking man who's helpful around the house. Second, you find a loving man who will spoil you and take care of you and never lie to you. And third, you find a thoughtful man who can make you laugh. And most important of all, you make sure these three men never meet each other.
Oh, that's great.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
Last year, Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones were the leaders of not one fraudulent failed recall attempt in the 22nd Ward, but two. They paid workers in excess of $3,000 to get names on a petition by any means necessary. Can you believe it? More than eight dead people's names were on those petitions. That's right, dead people. This disgusting act perpetrated the biggest voter fraud in the city of St. Louis, and it's still under investigation today. What were they thinking? Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones served the 22nd Ward for over 20 years. On their watch, major department stores like Woolworth and others along Martin Luther King Drive have left. Not only did the stores abandon our neighborhoods, so did Ozier and Jones. They had a bad habit of not returning phone calls, few community meetings, and no real concern for the residents. With this type of behavior, why should we believe anything that Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones say? On March 6th, let's say no to Ozier. Stick with Boyd. Going backwards should not be an option.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jeffrey O. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. What a gorgeous day. What a glorious day. What a beautiful day out there. It is Election Day. Hey, how about engaging in some democracy? All y'all talk about, I support our troops. We're going over there to bring democracy. Well, bring some democracy home. Get on out to the voting booths. Get on out to the polls. Get on out there and engage in some good old-fashioned democracy. I'm talking about voting. Today is the day to make it real, make it plain. Make some changes in this city. We've been talking about that, so let's get to it. Betty Lou.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Okay.
It's election day.
I'm getting ready to go to the polls, but I have a little problem here.
Yes, ma'am.
Who is Bill Haas? He said he was in the 18th ward.
He is a candidate running in the 18th ward for alderman against Alderman Terry Kennedy.
Okay, because they sent this, you know, these flyers here.
Yes, ma'am.
And I see Terry Kennedy, but I didn't know the Bill Haas.
Yes. Who's and what does the flyer say, Betty Lou?
It's talking mostly about Mr. Reed and Mr. Truesberry.
Okay.
And it just says, you know, as Election Day approaches, think about this. The people who best know the duties and responsibilities of the President of the Board of Aldermen say that office needs change. A majority of the aldermen are supporting Louis Reed for President of the Board. We need change.
Yes, ma'am.
And a picture of Mr. Shrewsbury saying, I will not change. He's probably telling the truth. Probably the only one telling the truth.
Yeah, but what good is he for us?
What is the lesser of the two evils?
Well, actually, I don't think that we, first of all, I don't think that we should ever pick evil. And secondly, in the case of Shrewsbury and Reed, from my perspective, Betty Lou, there is no context. It is Louis Reed. One of the things, and I can point you to a real early example, a real recent example. We had the BJC deal going down at Forest Park, right?
Okay.
And Louis Reed and some the Black Caucus got together and came up with a plan that Darlene Green signed on to. You know what that plan was? To bring a trauma center to North St. Louis. Also to bring millions of dollars over the course of a number of years to repair the parks in North St. Louis.
Okay.
You know what Shrewsbury did? He took out an ad in a South St. Louis paper bragging about how he was opposed to that. He doesn't want a trauma center. Mary, I mean, Patty Lou, there is no trauma center in North St. Louis at all. And now we finally have a chance to get a trauma center in North St. Louis, and Jim Shrewsbury says, I don't care about no trauma center in North St. Louis. That, to me, is his quote about, I'm never going to change. How does that make it sound now?
I don't know. I really, you know, I tell you the truth. It's a shame to say so. But the experience I've had with politicians have all been negative. I don't know what way to go.
Well, and I'm trying to help you with that, Betty Lou, because one of the things that I have been doing is, I know a lot of people out there feel the way that you feel. That's why, for me, it's very important that we follow that's what I do. Follow the politicians. Look at what they're doing. Look at their patterns, because they can just come to you and say something and you don't know. That's why it's important that you do the research on them. And if you don't have the time to do the research, that's one of the things that I do. And looking at the campaign finance report of Jim Shrewsbury, looking at what Jim Shrewsbury, this is a cold, let me tell you, give you another example of Jim Shrewsbury and the manner of man, because we need both, we need to know both things. We need to know how he would vote on issues that matter to us, and we also need to know about what manner of man he is. I had an older woman on my show a few weeks back, older woman Jennifer Florida. Her son went to the hospital for cancer treatment. He was under the knife for his second round of brain surgery. And in the Board of Aldermen, they do a prayer every time they open up, and pastors and preachers come and they do a prayer, and people can ask the pastors and the preachers to do a prayer for somebody. Well, Jennifer Floyd and a bunch of aldermen went up to Jim Shrewsbury and said, please do a prayer for Jennifer's son. He's like 12 or 13 years old. Please do a prayer for him because he's getting ready to go. He was in the hospital getting ready to go into the surgery room for brain surgery. Do you know Jim Shrewsbury said, no, I'm not going to do a prayer for him. And he said, I'm not going to do a prayer for him because Jennifer Floyd endorsed Lewis Reed. Now, while that's not a vote, Betty Lou, that kind of tells you the manner of man this guy is. Look at what he would do in order to win. And can someone who would do something like that, can he be a person that will make the right decisions for the community? If you would stand in front of God and say, I'm not going to offer up a prayer, even though I'm asking for a prayer, for a child getting ready to go into the hospital for brain surgery, I'm not offering up a prayer for him because I'm mad at his mama because she endorsed Lewis Reed.
Well, what's the difference between a person who says, I won't pray? He's telling the truth. And a person say, I will help the people, but they don't.
Well,
he's telling the truth. What's the difference between him and a liar?
But we're not having that choice today.
I'm having a problem with Reed.
Because why?
Because Bosley and Lucinda and a couple more I know treated me like dogs, and they're supporting him. And I'm just wondering if, because they're supporting him, I don't want to let that, you know, I don't know the kind of guy he is.
And here's the thing with respect to that, Betty Lou, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So just because Bosley, who you see for who he is, just because Bosley is supporting him on this, sometimes Bosley can get it right. For the wrong reasons, but sometimes he could get it right.
Uh-huh.
So I think that when we look at what Shrewsbury has done, remember the redistricting issue that took the 20th ward out of our community? That was Jim Shrewsbury.
Huh.
That was Jim Shrewsbury. We have to look, and I understand sometimes you can look to association like that and make a decision on this is not a good person. Sometimes you can do that, but not in this case.
No, I don't want to do that because they are individuals.
Yes, ma'am.
And he may have his, you know, Bosley may have his reasons.
And Bosley may be accidentally right.
Uh-huh.
You know? So,
yeah.
So I'm going on, Betty Lou, what I know that Jim Shrewsbury has done in the past. I don't think that it is any good for us to, when God shows us something about somebody, we're not supposed to just close our eyes, from my perspective. When we're shown something about somebody, then we're not supposed to walk away from that. Jim Shrewsbury has shown us the manner of man that he is. And also, when you look at the record of Lewis Reed and the things that he has done on behalf of the entire city, he didn't have to go and argue, because there's a lot of money out there on the BJC piece that could have been given to him if he had gone the other direction on that.
Yeah, well, what we're afraid of in the third ward is that he'll, you know, abandoned the eminent domain thing on our property.
Yes, ma'am.
And so what we're afraid of...
Well, he's talked about eminent domain, and I don't think that you have any reason for concern about that.
Okay.
I really don't think that you have any reason, and I've spent a lot of time with you, Betty Lou. I got to go.
Okay.
I hope that you do the right thing and support Reed today.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Hey, girl, you made it just in time. Pastor's getting ready to start.
Girl, I really needed to be here this Sunday.
What happened?
You didn't hear?
Uh-uh.
Well, last week, Jennifer Floyd, you know, the alderwoman?
Mm-hmm.
Her son went into the hospital for brain surgery.
Oh, my God.
How old is he?
12 or 13. But that's not the worst part. Girl, the worst part is that a bunch of aldermen went up to Jim Shrewsbury, and they asked him to say a special prayer for the child. Because you know they always start their meetings with a prayer.
That's right. They asked a special prayer, too.
Yeah, well, not last week. Because that Jim Shrewsbury said no.
What? He said no to a child having brain surgery?
Girl, that's right. And they said it's just because Jennifer Florida and her ward endorsed Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Lord, I'm going to have to pray for Jim Shrewsbury.
Well, I'm going to pray for him, too. But I'm certainly not going to vote for him.
Amen to that.
Paid for by the Sixth Ward Progressive Democrats, Paul Shannon, Treasurer.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd. As an educator, having taught for 15 years in the military and 2 years at Harris Stowe, I feel that I have some degree of qualifications to assess the educational process. I would like to share with you my position on the state takeover of St. Louis Public Schools. I'm a product of St. Louis Public Schools. My son graduated from Cleveland, my oldest daughter is a seventh grader at Bunch, and my youngest attends Kennard as a first grader. There are some that suggest that I support a state takeover of our school system. Well, here's the truth. I do not support a takeover of our school system by the state. Having children within the district would make no sense for me to support such a drastic measure that would cause a hardship not only on the district, but on our community. If the district is good enough for me to send my children to it, then it's good enough to be led by elected members of our community. Be careful who you get your messages from. They may be less than honest. Vote for truth. Vote for me. Jeffrey Boyd on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson, Boyd Treasurer.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Barbara.
Yes, ma'am. I'm down here at 5310 Euclid, First Ward, Fourth Precinct. Both of the machines are down, the electronic machine and the machine that counts the ballots. They're telling me just put it in the slot and the man will fix the machine. They don't have any power.
They don't have any power. You can't vote at all?
I voted, but they told me, well, you can't put it in the machine for it to count. Just put it down here in the side.
And
they have the little door open.
So
and that's at 5310 North Euclid.
53.
Ward, the first ward, the fourth precinct.
5310 Euclid?
Right.
Okay.
In the Senior Citizens Building.
Okay. And what's the precinct there?
The fourth precinct.
Okay.
The first ward.
Did you make
the fourth precinct?
And did you have them call downtown?
I don't know if they called downtown. They're doing something or messing around here. I called you first.
Okay, so there's a how many of the machines are down?
Both of them, the electronic machine, and when you write it in, you know, you put it in a little black machine for it to count.
So
both the machines are down. They only have two machines.
They
here.
Only have two machines in the entire
building.
In the
right.
entire building, and both of them are down.
Yes.
First Ward, Fourth Precinct. Okay.
Right. This is Troops Precinct.
Right. I'm a call Quincy Troop right now.
Troops Ward. Yes, she's going to call Troops Ward. Okay.
All right. And call the Board of Elections, too. That's 5310 Euclid Precinct, the 4th Precinct. Both of the voting machines are down.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay.
All right. Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a beautiful day for voting, and I'm so glad the weather turned out the way it did because nobody has an excuse about that. Yeah, it's a little cold, but, you know, there's no rain, there's no snow or anything like that. Please, everybody, get out because this is important, as every election is. That said, I was wondering if you watched CNN or any of those yesterday. We were talking about pandering yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the little sideshow that was put on with Hillary and Barack?
I talked about it yesterday. You're talking about the trip to Selma?
The trip to Selma, but this time they were talking about the fake accents and all.
No, I didn't get that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I mean, Hillary just went way down south on this, and so did Barack. I mean, he talks about how you can't tell me I ain't coming home and I belong here. And come on.
That doesn't even sound right.
It didn't.
That doesn't even sound
right. It really did. I mean, you know, if it weren't so pathetic, it would be high comedy.
Yeah, well, it would be the kind of comedy that you're crying when you're laughing at it, because that is... I mean, just think about the ramifications of that, because these are not people that talk like that.
And that's exactly what the analysts were saying about this. How is it going to affect their campaigns? What fallout might there be from it?
They don't talk. I mean, Barack Obama doesn't talk like that at all.
Not all.
At
not all.
All. And he's been to enough events for and one of the things that I am concerned about, however, with that is. That gets us back to this dangerous question of authenticity.
Exactly.
And the question of authenticity being asked by people outside of the community of African descent is uncomfortable and inappropriate.
Well, it's even being asked by people within the community.
I understand that, but I think that then we get to, well, his mother was white,
right.
and he's not African enough, and those types of analysis make me very uncomfortable, because it gets us to a place where, oh, you have to that you're not authentic because your mother is white.
I couldn't care less about his parenting.
But you understand? I understand. But what you understand
yeah,
what
I
I'm talking
what
about
saying,
when we
agree.
Get to this authenticity discussion,
right.
That's where people go, and I find that problematic.
I do, too. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention to you, this is something that has irked me for some time. I understand the situation with Shrewsbury, who is not going to get my vote anyway, for various reasons. But this one particular ad, the lady, I guess they're in church,
mm-hmm.
talking about the prayer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I haven't heard, maybe you mentioned it, and I just wasn't listening. I know it's the custom to begin with a prayer,
mm-hmm.
and I know that he denied the prayer. Oh, by the way, what happened to the lady's son? I never heard that.
She was on my show. He's doing really well.
Well, that's good. But now my problem is that you're beginning a prayer of a government session with a prayer to begin with. What happened to separation of church and state? There should be no prayer at all.
Well, there's a prayer in Washington, D.C.
All of that. It's wrong.
Okay. Absolutely. I mean, I understand that there is the concern of that. And I think that there is an explanation. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
And I think that's something that Reid, when he becomes president, should look into. That's something that should be gotten rid of.
I can't imagine that there is going to be an elected person that comes on and decides that in his first few acts that he's going to eliminate prayer.
Probably.
No, I don't, because there are people that believe it. I don't know that I would say that it was cowardice at all. I wouldn't do that. I would not advocate for the elimination of prayer at the opening of the Board of Elections. I wouldn't do that.
I would.
Okay.
Because
it's
just not separation of church and state.
I believe
it should be absolute and
total. I understand.
If you're going to do it, if we're going to abide by the Constitution, then have a strict... Isn't that what conservatives are always calling for?
Well, I agree that conservatives are always calling for, but the Board of Aldermen is nothing but Democrats.
Mm, okay.
All right.
And also, I mean, you know, it's usually... Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Isn't it usually a Christian prayer?
Actually, I know that they have brought all kinds of different preachers and
see, that's one of my main problems with it. This is a sectarian thing.
No, it's not. I know that there have been other people that have been of other faiths that have come and addressed the Board of Aldermen.
Okay. So, well, if you eliminate it altogether, you have no argument.
Okay. All right, Aldrin. Thanks. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask you about, what's his name, Frank Williamson?
Yes.
He's been an alderman for a long time, hadn't he?
Mm-hmm. Or for, I think for maybe two terms. Not a whole long time. We're not talking 20 years or 15 years or even 10 years.
Well, I basically just moved into...
No, we're only talking a couple of terms.
Well, I've just moved into this area.
Yes, ma'am.
In the last couple of years.
Yes, ma'am.
So I don't know that much about him.
No, no. But he has not been there a long, long time at all. I think he replaced Irv Clay, and that was only a couple of terms ago.
Well, do you...
Irv Clay had been the alder person of that ward for a long, long, long time.
Okay. Well, I haven't, you know, gotten to know my neighbors real well to get into conversations about this kind of stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
But I wanted to ask about, do you know about him as opposed to the guy Willis that's running?
Well, I have.
Because it's like, you know, if nothing else, to me, he brought suspicion on himself for me when that flyer came out that was defaming Willis.
It's accurate.
And
it's
talking
accurate.
About the ex-convict and
well, here's the thing. Let me, because I only have a few minutes, Mary, and I want to try to break this down for you as best I can. There are a number of things that I look at when I analyze different types of candidates, and Willis is one that I apply a number of things to. Number one, the conviction for burglary is accurate. He does have a conviction for burglary. And one of the things that you do when you sign up to run for office, you say that you don't have any, you represent to people that your record is clear. I think that the honorable thing for him to do, when his conviction was in the 2000s, he pled guilty to it. When he pled guilty to a burglary, I think that he had a responsibility to tell his constituents that he did that. I think because that's a real question of...
Can a felon run for
He pled guilty. He got an SIS, a suspended imposition of sentence, so that the burglary would not be on his record.
But he can run.
He can run. But here's another thing, Mary. One of the things that he also hasn't done, he hasn't paid his taxes. And in order to run for office, you have to you go down to the Board of Aldermen or go down to the Board of Elections, and you say, I've paid my taxes, I am a qualified person to run for this office. He hasn't done that. He started off his campaign with a lie and dishonesty, and he has pled guilty to a burglary.
He's like a slickster then, is that it?
Yes, ma'am, and I haven't even begun to talk about the people that he hangs around with in terms of the people behind his campaign. Jeff Smith is the person behind his campaign. And so I have huge problems with all of that, huge problems with the honor of all of that.
See, you just don't know what's going on.
No, I do know what's going on.
No, I'm saying I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
And that's why I really try to find out for everybody about what is going on.
And that's
a big deal to me. That is a big, big deal
to
me.
So you feel that Williamson deserves to stay in his position?
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
yes,
thank you, ma'am.
All right, now. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back after this break. Please don't go anywhere. It's election day. Call me and let me know how the polls are going out there, and I'll be giving you reports about what's going on out there. Stay with me.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,
that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. First, a House committee and today a Senate committee gets the chance to grill Army brass over widespread problems at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Here's ABC's Vic Ratner.
Army Vice Chairman General Richard Cody says more help to aid wounded soldiers at Walter Reed Army Hospital to deal with the bureaucracy is on the way.
I've got a colonel, a sergeant major, and 126 leaders coming in the next 2 weeks.
Sergeant Daniel Shannon, who lost an eye and had traumatic brain injuries in Iraq, told lawmakers what happened when he went to one hospital office 5 minutes early.
She looked me up and down, in my opinion, like a piece of dirt, and said, come see me when we open.
The questioning resumes at a Senate hearing today. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
Many wounded soldiers are taken to Walter Reed. More could be on their way. The military says 9 service members were killed in Iraq yesterday in 2 bombings north of Baghdad. The death toll is at least 70 and expected to rise after a magnitude 6.3 earthquake in western Indonesia.
People really did feel a sense of fear. People running out of buildings, out of hospitals even, just trying to get into the open air. This is an area of Indonesia that does experience regular earthquakes, and Sumatra, of course, was very badly hit by the tsunami in 2004.
The BBC's Lucy Williamson in Jakarta. You knew it was going to happen. Gas prices took a jump, a big one, 12 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks. Analyst Peter Butel is not surprised.
When you go from winter grade to summer grade, you have to go to a grade that doesn't evaporate as easily and also one that is better for the environment, and that costs a little bit more to produce.
The average price now about $2.51 a gallon. You could pay for a lot of gas with $355 million. That's what's up for grabs in tonight's Mega Millions jackpot, a record for the multi-state game, and it's such a big deal that officials have moved the drawing from Atlanta to New York's Times Square. This is ABC News. Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix Pantoprazole Sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you. Consumer groups in California want state officials to check out why a company that makes a new kind of gas pump has decided not to sell it here in the U.S.
This pump made by Gilbarco takes temperature into account as it fills your tank. When it's cold, fuel contracts. With the pumps used now in the United States, you get more than you pay for when it's cold, but less when it's warm. Kansas City Star says the way U.S. pumps are set now, Americans are paying an extra $1.7 billion for gas. Gilbarco, which sells these pumps in cold Canada, where it helps oil companies, has decided not to sell them in the warmer U.S. Consumer groups want to know if there was any pressure on Gilbarco from oil companies to not sell these pumps in the United States.
That's ABC's Gil Gross. If you want to keep your kids from smoking cigarettes, don't put a TV in their room and limit the number of R-rated movies that they watch. That's what a new study found. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Branchmeyer with your WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, more than 1,000 people gathered yesterday to remember Damian Nash. Nash was remembered as a charismatic man who helped his community. The Broncos running back died in a suburban St. Louis home in late February after playing in a charity basketball game. Dozens of Nash's former teammates and coaches attended the 3-hour service, and many spoke during the funeral. The Broncos have set up the Damian Nash Trust Fund through the NFL Players Association to help with school and health care expenses for Nash's daughter. A man suspected of killing a Webster Groves teacher has been returned to St. Louis County. 30-year-old Derek Luster is charged with second-degree murder after DNA linked him to the murder of Joyce Bellrose in 2000. Luster was arrested last month in Texas and was transported back to the Midwest on Saturday. Luster is being held at the St. Louis County Justice Center on $1 million bond. Finally this hour, the Blues kick off a three-game homestand tonight when they host the Calgary Flames at Scott Trade Center. St. Louis is hoping to rebound from a 3-2 shootout loss to the Rangers on Saturday afternoon in New York. The Note have collected points in 18 of their last 24 games and have won 6 of their last 8 games overall, but are 0-2 against the Flames this season. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast through McKnight. Look for sunshine. Slowdowns there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270. Look for some slow traffic going on there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry and the Graham Hanley. You've got slow volume there. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and 170, look for some delays there as well. Westbound 5570 from the 64 split in the Poplar Street Bridge, look for a heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Doherty Ferry all the way back through Gravelway around the 44 area, look for some delays as well. Northbound 270 at Manchester and Clayton, look for a disabled vehicle with shoulders blocked just near Manchester Roads, and people are slowing down to have a look. Northbound 55 between 3200 South Broadway and 44, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 into the Chain of Rocks Bridge, you've got some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Midspan all the way into the landing, look for some slowdowns. And northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slowdowns at the top of that ramp, as well as northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Look for slowdowns in the 70 exit lanes. And northbound 55 from Butler Hill through the 270-255 interchange, look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny with a high around 50 this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. For Wednesday, partly sunny. High around 50 Thursday, Wednesday evening, look for partly cloudy skies. Low around 30, and Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 50s. Currently, we've got 27 degrees and mostly clear skies. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 28. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory.
There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. Andrew.
Yes, Liz.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm in the fourth ward here, and I'm wanting everybody to vote for Sam.
Okay, Sam Moore.
Right.
Okay, and why is that, Andrew? Talk to me about that.
Well, Shelton is when he got into office, he started putting together his crew and everything, and his crew is made up of a lot of people that was in here before that took the money and run. And I didn't like that part. And plus, when I go downtown to the Board of Aldermen a lot, and I got a business, so I ask him, you know, whenever there's something going on, it's something going to happen in this ward, he always tell me, nothing yet, and he'll contact me.
Mm. Okay.
Now, these letters he's sending out here to everybody seem to have a lot of stuff that he's doing, but when I'm down there, nothing has happened.
Mm.
You know, so...
Well, you know, here's the thing. I was never, 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 never impressed with O.L. Shelton up in the state legislature.
Right.
Never impressed with him. I had a lot of problems with a lot of things that he did and a lot of positions that he took. So I do not find that surprising at all for O.L. Shelton. Not surprising at all.
Right, and at his meetings, when he had meetings with some of the peoples out here, he's got the nerve to tell them to sit down and shut up like he run it like a dictatorship.
That's what I'm saying. So it's up to the ward to get rid of somebody like that.
Right. That's right. I'm on the phone now. You go out there, vote for Sam, and if he don't work, we'll do the same thing next time.
But what about Lewis Reed?
Lewis Reed? Well, we got him.
Okay. Well, you got to tell people both of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Reed is fine. You know,
okay.
But
both of those, okay? When you go out, you know, tell people, make certain that you put the Lewis Reed on there.
Right.
All
know,
right.
Just because he's supporting Reed, and it doesn't mean he's a good thing.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And again, he'd had a dismal record in up in Jefferson City.
Right. And the letters that he's sending out, you know, don't believe it because... When I was asking him down there on a weekly basis, what was going on there? Is any jobs, anything opening up, or any work being done in our neighborhood? He always told me no. I could get in touch with him. He never got in touch with me.
All even right.
To today, he hasn't gotten in touch with me.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Two important things for my first ward and down here at the Lexington School. If you are driving, we have major construction over here. You cannot enter on the north going north on Norwood. Please go around the King's Highway to Lexington, and you're going to need a little extra time because of the major construction. And if you bring your mama, you're someone disabled in the car, you got to use the south side and also the judges will come to the car.
That's right.
So don't be, I'm trying to help you because you know how you running late and you think you can get through and you got to find a way to get over there. Don't come north on Norwood at all. You cannot get through unless you are walking.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about.
Your next alderman in the 18th Ward in the Democratic primary on Tuesday. When I was on the school board, I stood up for people well, and I will stand up for you as your alderman also. Being a good alderman is about hard work and services and being there for people when you need me to be, and I'm going to do that. I want to put young people without jobs to work, to tear down abandoned houses, and to build affordable houses in their place. And I hope to get the other aldermen involved in helping our schools be better. We need to know who's not in school today and who's supposed to be knocking on their door finding out why not. And who's falling behind in their work and who's supposed to be tutoring them to help them catch up. We should not lose one of our children as a dropout. Let's set our vision high and not take no for an answer. We should show other cities in the country how we make this urban school system work. If these are things you agree with, and I know that you do, I hope you'll vote for me, Bill Haas, H-A-A-S, in the Democratic primary on Tuesday. And when I win, I promise to do my best every day to make you proud that you voted for me.
Paid for by Bill Haas for 18th Ward Alderman Francine Lamond's Treasurer.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd, and I'm asking for your vote on March 6th to reelect me as your alderman for the 22nd Ward. Together, we've leveraged over $850,000 in home repair dollars for senior citizens and the disabled. We have the highest attendance at monthly ward meetings across the city every month. We've torn down over 116 dangerous buildings that were neglected for as long as 15 years. We've paved over 47 alleys and streets. 4 years ago, Jones and Ozer said no one will pay $100,000 to move into our neighborhoods, but we've proved them wrong. New homeowners have paid as much as $129,000 for their new home. Together, we're making a difference, and we're making our neighborhood stronger. Let's continue what we've started. Vote for me, Jeffrey Boyd, on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
I am 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. As your alderman, I have listened to you and heard your call. You wanted to see your tax dollars spent in your community. I have answered by allocating more than $180,000 for new sidewalks, street repairs, and pavement. You wanted to stabilize your community. I've answered by building 600 new homes totaling over $126 million and closing down nuisance property. On Tuesday, March 6th, answer the call. Reelect me, Frank Williamson, 26th Ward Alderman, committed to continue to answer to you. Paid for by committee to re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson, Treasurer.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Oh, my goodness gracious. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Today is Election Day. Election Day. What'd I say? Election Day. You need to get on out. And it's a, it is a beautiful day. The sun is shining. It is pretty out there. The stakes are high. Let's do something today. Let's contribute a little bit to changing the world today. Get out there and get your vote on. Get your vote on. And then tell all your friends. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
You're right. It is a very beautiful day out there. Nice,
yes,
and fresh.
Is. Yes, it is.
I don't know if this, you know, I just want to run this by you. I got my license plate renewal yesterday in the mail.
Okay.
And stuffed inside of it is an advertisement for Discover Card.
What?
Yeah, and I called everybody in Jeff City.
What?
And the gal that runs the department, first, she won't even talk to me. She's got a secret phone number. I got it out of somebody. And, this is using our taxpayers'
money. Wait a
minute.
There is an ad for a Discover card.
Yes,
in
ma'am.
Your,
right here in front of me.
In your license plate?
In my license plate renewal.
Who paid for that?
That's our tax dollars for the revenue. I mean, for the stamps. And then they're sending junk mail advertising inside of it. And somebody else told me, they said, haven't you got the one from Allstate yet in there? I said, no. I said, you mean somebody else's? They said, yeah.
Oh, you got, oh, my goodness.
No, I'm not pulling your leg
on.
Oh,
my goodness.
I called everybody in Jeff City I could, and I called the governor's office, and I gave him my name and phone number and everything. Nobody's got back to me on it.
Oh, my. So you got to ask the question of how much, what's the kickback on that?
That's exactly where I'm going with this.
What is the kickback on that? And if State Farm, let me just throw this out. If State
Farm. No, this was
discovered. I understand. Okay. But I was going back to State Farm because you said that someone said, have you got your State Farm?
Yeah, but I haven't got that yet.
Okay. But let's say that it's State Farm. If State Farm is paying the state of Missouri money to put ads in stuff that people have to open, okay? This is a guarantee that somebody's going to see your ad because you have to open that, right?
Right.
Do you think is going to happen if State Farm is sued by the Attorney General in the state of Missouri? You think they're going to get a good? You think a suit is going to be brought against?
I called the
State
Attorney
Farm.
General's office.
If they are paying our state money, that our state is now dependent upon them to pay them this ad money. What kind of deal you think State Farm's going to get when they go if they redline people for automobile insurance, or if they cheat people after let's say a big old storm that happened to hit the state of Missouri? That is outrageous.
Well, my question is, who allowed it, and where's the money going, the kickback going? And this is taking employees' time that we're paying for in Jeff City to do this.
Wow.
And so there's a whole bunch of questions came into my mind. What's this about? Who authorized it? And so far, I haven't heard from anybody. And I did call
Nixon. That is amazing.
I thought, am I the only one upset about this?
Wow. Thanks for your call.
Hey, I just wanted to give you a heads up.
All right. Have you voted yet?
No, ma'am, I haven't got out yet, but I'm making my breakfast now. I will.
All right.
You take care.
All right.
Have a good week. Huh?
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, Liz. I just heard that guy call in. There was something on television, I'll say maybe a month or maybe more ago, about that very issue. And I can't remember exactly which state notices they were in, but evidently a lot of calls came in around that time. And someone was on there from, I believe, the Department of Revenue of the state, and they were saying that other states had done this as a means of cutting down on the cost of sending the mailings out. And I believe the advertisements for whatever this particular company, maybe it was the State Farm issue, was actually printed on whatever was sent. So it wasn't even an insert.
Oh, my Lord.
I think it was printed on the back of it or something like that.
Oh, my Lord.
And I remember the news person asking, doesn't that seem like, you know, it's like the state's endorsement? And it seems like she said they would look into it or something. But I think they do pay a fee, and supposedly
I would assume
saving the taxpayers' money because of these fees are what's actually paying.
So that
the
makes
post.
Us even more indebted to them. Earlene, you're an attorney. What do you think the likelihood of a State Farm that is providing revenue that the state can't afford to mail this stuff out? What do you think the likelihood of them getting sued vigorously by the state, that same state, is?
Probably less.
What do you say, slim to none?
Slim to none. And let me just give people a little caution as the mayor and wealth. I try to keep people up to date. The law in most municipalities now, you know, allows the police to stop you just for not wearing a seatbelt, okay? And then, of course, any tickets that they write after that, they are, you know, they're within the probable cause. So people buckle up just because you should buckle up anyway.
Fact.
That is simply a reason now that they can stop you. I had a young lady who called me. She was stopped for not wearing a seatbelt. Ended up with like 8 tickets for various and sundry things. So, you know, watch out for the camera lights. Watch your speed. You know, at some of the dangerous intersections because they do have the camera.
Now, they don't do that in the city of St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
What?
There's 7 locations.
No. I don't mean the camera. I mean stopping you for not having your seatbelt on.
No, I don't know if it's in the city yet.
Why? Well, how are they doing it in these municipalities?
Because they passed ordinances, and I'm not sure. I believe in Illinois, it's a statewide law.
In Illinois, it's statewide.
Mm-hmm. But evidently, some of the smaller municipalities. This was Beverly Hills, and of course, Beverly Hills routinely has those checkpoints. And another thing people should know: don't ever make a U-turn to avoid a checkpoint. Because you can get a ticket for that, trying to avoid it. Even if, say, you're running late, it's like, oh, my God, I've got to go the other way. You'll get a ticket for avoiding the checkpoint. And then one other caution again, please, if you're ever stopped for a DWI and they ask you to take a breathalyzer, if you've never had a drink in your life, if you're a teetotaler, still take the breathalyzer because simply refusing to take the breathalyzer, that's an automatic 1-year suspension.
Thanks for that.
Take care.
Have you voted yet, Earlene? Oops, didn't get her in time. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Josephine, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I would like to make a statement also in regards to what you just said. No bunny stopping at the stop sign. They are using that as a means. You know, this is income tax time. Plenty of cars are being purchased. I was stopped and had to have a fit on an officer as to the reason being stopped because I purchased a car. And the young man tried to tell me, well, we got a report that they've got a lot of the paper. God, what is it that goes on the back of the window when you first purchase your car?
Tip tag.
Yes. So I let him know. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. Go back, tell your chief. We're not going for it. If you live on the south side near Chippewa, Jefferson, don't patronize the Quick Trip if you don't have to. Because as soon as you come onto the lot, they are posted at, like, Iowa, Chippewa, Texas, Ohio, and they use your turning onto the lot as a reason you try to duck them. So be careful.
Thanks
they
for that
have
call.
These people posted, and they are beastly. I'm out.
Taking a break. We'll be back.
morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast through McKnight. Look for sunshine slowdowns there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for some delays around the 270 interchange. Westbound 270 from 367 through Graham Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from midspan into the landing. You can expect slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the 5570 merge. Look for some delays there as well. Northbound Manchester between Clayton, or northbound 270 between Manchester and Clayton. Look for a disabled vehicle. The shoulder's blocked, and that is just near the Manchester Road intersection. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Brentwood. Look for some delays there as well. Westbound 5570 from 64 approaching the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some slowdowns there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Look for some delays there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for some slowdowns around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for a little bit of a slowdown there. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70. Look for slowdowns in the 70 exit lanes. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270 interchange. Look for heavy volume there, as well as from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for some heavy volume as well. And westbound 270 from Illinois Route 3, the Chain of Rocks Bridge, you've got some slowdowns there, as well as southbound 170 from 270 into Hanley. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday or Thursday. For today, partly sunny, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, partly sunny, high around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And Thursday, partly sunny skies, high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 28 degrees and some clouds. Lambert Field is also reporting 28 degrees and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Last year, Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones were the leaders of not one fraudulent failed recall attempt in the 22nd Ward, but two. They paid workers in excess of $3,000 to get names on a petition by any means necessary. Can you believe it? More than eight dead people's names were on those petitions. That's right, dead people. This disgusting act perpetrated the biggest voter fraud in the city of St. Louis, and it's still under investigation today. What were they thinking? Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones served the 22nd Ward for over 20 years. On their watch, major department stores like Woolworth and others along Martin Luther King Drive have left. Not only did the stores abandon our neighborhoods, so did Ozier and Jones. They had a bad habit of not returning phone calls, few community meetings, and no real concern for the residents. With this type of behavior, why should we believe anything that Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones say? On March 6th, let's say no to Ozier. Stick with Boyd. Going backwards should not be an option.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jeffrey O. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson, Boyd Treasurer.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children. And not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by Committee to Elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, Treasurer.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Last year, Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones were the leaders of not one fraudulent failed recall attempt in the 22nd Ward, but two. They paid workers in excess of $3,000 to get names on a petition by any means necessary. Can you believe it? More than 8 dead people's names were on those petitions. That's right, dead people. This disgusting act perpetrated the biggest voter fraud in the city of St. Louis, and it's still under investigation today. What were they thinking? Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones served the 22nd Ward for over 20 years. On their watch, major department stores like Woolworth and others along Martin Luther King Drive have left. Not only did the stores abandon our neighborhoods, so did Ozier and Jones. They had a bad habit of not returning phone calls, few community meetings, and no real concern for the residents. With this type of behavior, why should we believe anything that Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones say? On March 6th, let's say no to Ozier. Stick with Boyd. Going backwards should not be an option.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey O. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m. The monkey pulled the throttle,
locomotive jumped the gun, and then Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Miss Brown?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Ruth. Miss Brown, please put your seatbelt on. I heard it in the news this morning around about 4 a.m. on CalMax that the seatbelt law will start tomorrow. And you got to have that seatbelt on.
Yes, ma'am.
It starts tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
So I heard, so please tell everybody, listen, they said they're going to start it.
All right, now.
And I already voted. I voted absentee ballot for Mr. Lewis Reed.
All right, now. I'm proud of you.
Okay, honey. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
Love
bye-bye.
You, too. Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. Loving your show as usual.
Thank you, Marie.
Yeah, your previous caller before that lady, she prompted me to call about an incident that happened to me yesterday with the Berkeley police, who are notorious for harassing citizens for doing nothing. Okay, I was driving along on my way to work, driving the speed limit. I wasn't doing anything. You know, I wasn't doing anything. I was driving to work, okay? And this Berkeley policeman just followed me. And every turn I made, he made, and I mean, for a long time. And I'm like, okay, what's the deal here? So I turned to a gas station, a mobile gas station off of Frost and North Hanley to get some gas. And he turned around and followed me into the gas station. Now, I was tempted to, you know, get his badge number and, you know, say, okay, what's going on? Instead of catching real criminals, why are you following me? But I just went on and got my gas and everything. And, you know, the police did not say anything to me because he wouldn't have had a reason to. But I'm trying to understand, why was he following me for nothing?
When you left the police, the gas station, did he follow?
No, he was gone because there was a big line. I had to stand in line for a while, you know, to pay for my gas.
So, how long did he?
When I went inside, though, I saw him. You know, he was kind of like circling the gas station, and then he finally left. So I'm thinking, like, okay, what's going on here? I could see if I was doing something wrong, but I wasn't doing anything but driving.
How long was he following you before you pulled into the gas station?
It's been I don't know the exact time, but it was a long time.
What?
Was,
what? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 20?
Yeah, probably, maybe 5 minutes. Something like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. But he never said anything to you?
No, he never. He was just following me. And I don't know why he followed me to the gas station. I don't get that at all.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, but the Berkeley police, though, they are notorious for harassing people instead of, you know, I go out and catch some real criminals. You know, somebody could be beating their wife while you're following, you know, people in traffic.
That's fact.
Exactly.
Thank you, Marie.
Thanks a lot, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Eddie.
No, Kenny.
Oh, Kenny. Okay.
Good morning, Ms.
Good
Brown.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Good. Hey, Ms. Brown, I'm going to get them some heads up on Upland Park, you know, right there on Natural Bridge.
Uh-huh.
It's guaranteed if you go through there, be right. They're going to guarantee you have at least 3-4 people pulled over. But listen, this is what I want to tell you about them. The population in Upland Park is 460. And if you go to their courtroom, I guarantee you they got 200 to 300 people there. They let 50 people in at a time.
Wow.
Now, and as you see, it's nothing but African Americans there. That's it. Nobody else. The only white person that was in there was the judge.
Mm.
And it's 400. And
that's how they make their money.
That's how they're making their money.
That's how they make their money.
Turn them up, man.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Linda.
Good morning.
Linda, good morning.
How are you, Miss?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing good this morning. I just tuned into your show, and I hear them talking about traffic. The worst traffic cops are in Kinloch, and I was stopped by none other than a Hubbard.
When will you stop by a Hubbard?
He has a cousin who was in East St. Louis who was a cop over there, and he shot and killed somebody.
Right. Okay, so it's not that Hubbard.
Right.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It was that Hubbard. They transferred him to Kinloch.
No, so he's in Kinloch now?
He's in Kinloch now. He stopped.
He's the same one that shot and killed him?
Yes, ma'am. And you know what, Miss Brown? My aunt is married to his cousin. They're in my family.
He's in Kinloch now.
He's in Kinloch now. He gave me a ticket for going 5 miles over the speed limit. I went to court. And I explained to the judge, I said, I have a security clearance. I will not drive over the speed limit. I said, this cop is fabricating to get money for your district. And it was a shame the way the black people were in the courtroom. And it's indicative of every little suburb that you go to.
So what happened?
So she let me explain everything to her. I had drawings. I took pictures. Let me just say this really quick. I was so agitated, I went and got a camera at Walgreens. And I pulled over on Airport Road to take a picture of where I was stopped. With before the speed limit, he came up behind me and gave me another ticket for impeding the flow of traffic. So I got two tickets. And I said, I think you're impeding the flow of traffic. You're out in the streets. I'm on the side. And furthermore, where's the traffic?
So what happened with your ticket?
The black female judge over there didn't throw it out. She threw out the impeding the flow of traffic. So she said, I'll let you go to traffic school. So they won't get affected on your record. So I went to traffic school for 8 hours, blown a day, and had to pay the cost for the traffic school.
How much is that?
It was like $50.
All right. And Hubbard is back. Okay, well, that's good. That's it. That is good for you to tell us that, because folks need to get busy, because he chased him out of almost every district that he's been in. So it's now it's time to come. He's in Kinloch now.
He's in Kinloch.
And
now,
how long ago was this?
This was a couple of months ago.
Okay. Thank you, Linda.
I can't vote for Lewis Reed, but I'm praying for him.
All right, now.
All right, have a good day.
All right, call somebody in the city that you know can and vote for him.
I sure will.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. David.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Hey, I hear people calling in talking about the worst cities for police. And I guess you're going to find that all over the country. But I tell you, if you go through Lucas Hunt and Natural Bridge, the Beverly Hills Police Department has got to be the worst police officers as it relates to protect and serve. I guarantee you, nobody can go through that town without getting stopped and pulled over. I have talked to the Attorney General's office to look into some type of harassment lawsuit as it relates to civil rights. Because these officers sit up there on those parking lots, and they actually pick cars at random just to pull over. Now, fortunately, when they do pull them over, there is some minor fractions of the law, improper plates, the car not being registered. And I watched one guy got pulled over, and he was talking with the officer about a possible warrant that was out on him, and he was trying to tell the officer he didn't have a warrant. Do you know within 2 minutes of pulling this guy over, they had a tow truck there ready to pull this guy's car?
Wow.
And found out that he didn't have a warrant, that the dispatcher at the Beverly Hills Police Department was one date off his birthday. And so the tow truck was told to go ahead. But that just goes to show you that, you know, they're out there to get money.
Totally.
If you look at court, it's once a month. You have between 300 and 400 people lined up down the sidewalk of Natural Bridge waiting to get in the court. And it doesn't make any difference if there's snow on the ground, if it's raining. There's no room in the courtroom, and I think that's against your constitutional right. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but yet still you got to stand out here in the cold and rain just to prove that the officer was improper by giving you a ticket.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business. Stay with me.
City of St. Louis, there is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children. And not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by a committee to elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, Treasurer.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd. As an educator, having taught for 15 years in the military and 2 years at Harris Stowe, I feel that I have some degree of qualifications to assess the educational process. I would like to share with you my position on the state takeover of St. Louis Public Schools. I'm a product of St. Louis Public Schools. My son graduated from Cleveland. My oldest daughter is a seventh grader at Bunch, and my youngest attends Kennard as a first grader. There are some that suggest that I support a state takeover of our school system. Well, here's the truth. I do not support a takeover of our school system by the state. Having children within the district would make no sense for me to support such a drastic measure that would cause a hardship not only on the district, but on our community. If the district is good enough for me to send my children to it, then it's good enough to be led by elected members of our community. Be careful who you get your messages from. They may be less than honest. Vote for truth. Vote for me. Jeffrey Boyd on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
Tune in every Thursday at noon to 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
I am 26 Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. As your alderman, I have listened to you and heard your call. You wanted to see your tax dollars spent in your community? I have answered by allocating more than $180,000 for new sidewalk street repairs and pavement. You wanted to stabilize your community? I've answered by building 600 new homes totaling over $126 million and closing down nuisance property. On Tuesday, March 6th, Answer the call. Re-elect me, Frank Williamson, 26th Ward Alderman, committed to continue to answer to you. Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning. My name is Car Phone.
Good morning, Liz. Who agreed? Who win?
Part, yes.
two other things that people ought to look out for is, number one, they're notorious, like the gentleman said, in Upland Park in Beverly Hills. Guess what they're doing now, Liz?
What's that?
They're looking on your window to see if you got a safety inspection sticker, and they're putting you over for that. The emissions part.
Whoa.
Yeah, they said, that's how they're getting you now. What they're doing is now. And to the lady that he was behind for 5 minutes, honey, what he was doing was he was running your plate. Now, usually it didn't take that 5 minutes for MRS to get back with him. But what he did was he ran a plate to see if it was in proper place. What happened was it came back that she had proper place, so we let her go. If they had came back at the place, we would have went to the car, he would have pulled her over and just said she was speeding.
And then run her plates and have then charge her with that or ticket
right,
her for that.
Right, but that's what they do. They get behind you for a minute. Whenever they're behind you, listeners, they're running your plate. And it takes only a couple seconds usually. She must have been busy, the dispatcher. That's why it took that long. Mm-hmm. But usually it's a lot of times it's intimidating, but, you know, it's just a lot of times just be careful.
Thanks for your call.
Yes.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was going to comment on a lady who said she was driving through Berkeley and was being followed.
Uh-huh.
She was saying how the police should follow real criminals,
mm-hmm.
but there are no real criminals. That's the problem is they're not. They're out there taking our money. And there's actually nobody out there. I mean, there's people out there doing wrong things, but the majority of people are law-abiding citizens, and this is just a way for them to get more tax dollars out of us without actually taxing.
That's exactly right.
I watched the other night. I drove to work around 10:30, and I looked up on the highway, and I saw a car pulled over, and I had to drive underneath and then go around. As I went onto the ramp, there was a police officer set up in a speed trap. And then a couple miles down the road, there was another car pulled over. And by the time I got from I think it was all the way down to Gravois and 55, I had seen four people pulled over on the side of the road.
And that you think that was there to make you safer, or was it there to make some money?
It was an initiative to pull in some bucks. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel safe driving on the road because
mm-hmm.
I knew I'm a potential target.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to drive I drove the speed limit and made all the signals and stuff. I mean, this is, they use these reasons to take our money, like a turn signal, making a turn without a turn signal is somehow a crime. And they'll throw you in jail for this
mm-hmm.
sort of stuff.
Well, and the other piece of it is that, sure, we need enforcement of speed limits. Sure, we need enforcement of the rules that are out there. But the problem is that it's discretionary.
Yes.
And they pick and choose who they want and when they want, and none of it has to do with, okay, there's been a spike of accidents, we need to start cracking down on this speed limit thing.
Here's a better one, though. They don't give each other tickets.
Yeah.
So here's a tax that you and I as citizens are going to get.
That's a good point.
And they're going to take care of each other's brotherhood. I mean,
it's horrible.
We're not going to pay, and you are.
It is absolutely horrible. And you're absolutely right. And when you look at these municipalities that are, if they didn't have the ability to stop people and ticket people, they would have no money in their coffers.
Oh, that's true. Because I know I live by a place called Bella Villa, and it's probably one of the richest funded neighborhoods. That it's a 4x4 block area, and they have, I don't know if it's either monthly or bi-monthly, but they have people out the door like that other gentleman was saying, and they're covering 600 people. Just 600 people, and they pull in like $3 million just in tickets.
Jesus.
And it's ridiculous. And, I mean, I would rather walk through some of the most crime-ridden neighborhoods with money in my hand than drive through some of those municipalities.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, because you are more likely. I mean, and here's the thing is, if you're going to rob us, at least wear the uniform like a ski mask. You know, instead of a badge and a nice uniform, wear a ski mask.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to come. You need to get to me. Tim.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to let you know. I mean, this is why I wanted to comment about the police. I look at it like this. You know, it's hard enough as a young African-American man to go out to mostly white neighborhoods and get harassed by cops. You know, it's a shame that now, you know, you can't even ride in your own neighborhood or as the majority of black neighborhoods because now they're targeting and profiling us. I mean, it's a shame. Like I said, if you stay in the house with four brothers or four sisters, you can't even ride together all in one car, you know, without being harassed.
That's horrible. That's awful. It is absolutely awful.
You know, I know people that have to take two and three cars just to split up, and they stay in the same household just because they won't get pulled over because, you know, for so-called riding too deep. You know, and for the black cops out here who really know how it is, it's a shame for you to continue to profile us.
But understand that who makes the selection of the types of black cops that make it to the force? Now, there's some good ones that get through.
Right.
But as a rule, what kind of black cop are they looking for? The kind that will enforce the same kind of racist policies and horrible policies that exist.
And one more thing, and I'll let you go real fast. Another thing, I came outside my home, and I seen an officer. I was still on the north side off the street. Riding up and down, he was going the street slowly, running plates. Now, that was pathetic.
You mean cars parked along the way?
Cars parked on the street. He's going up the street, running plates. You know, I'm like, man, that's pathetic.
Oh.
That's it.
All right. Thanks for your call. It's election day, folks. You need to be out there voting. You need to be out there engaged. I'm going to give you a report on what's going on in our building here. Give me a report about what's going on in your community. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all
are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. There's another hearing today into the problems at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. A Senate committee will begin asking questions in about a half an hour from now. And not too long after that, President Bush will weigh in on the issue. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
When President Bush steps before one of the nation's biggest veterans groups, the American Legion, his message is to be simple and direct. The problems at Walter Reed have to be fixed. Period. No excuses. Yesterday, generals who ran the Walter Reed Hospital personally apologized to patients and their families who came to testify to Congress about poor follow-up care. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Another violent day in Iraq. The military says 9 U.S. troops were killed in separate incidents north of Baghdad yesterday.
In Baghdad, an Iraqi police commander was killed in a roadside bombing in the south of the city, while 1,200 Iraqi and American troops consolidated their positions in the eastern Shiite district of Sadr City.
ABC's Terry McCarthy in Baghdad. At least 70 people are dead after a pair of strong earthquakes in the western part of Indonesia. One a magnitude 6.3. The worst hit area could be Solok, a bustling town on Sumatra's western coast.
There's shortage of medical supply and medical help and the inaccessibility of places where people are injured, and medical help being able to reach them is becoming a problem right now.
ABC's Dina Antonio in Jakarta. Lawmakers in New Jersey are considering banning the sale of 50-caliber guns. Supporters say these kind of weapons could be used to shoot down airliners. But gun rights advocates say the ban won't keep criminals from getting weapons. Well, he says he was dared to do it. That's one reason a Minnesota man gave police for breaking into the home famous for being in the opening credits of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. The man is now under arrest after he was found sleeping in a second floor bedroom. He also says he was drunk at the time. This is ABC News. Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix Pantoprazole Sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you. Police in Indiana are looking into a horrific story involving a plane crash that may not have been an accident. Here's ABC's Dave Shriver.
Sergeant Dave Burstyn with the Indiana State Police says they started getting a better idea what happened when the girl's mother, Beth Ann Johnson, showed up at headquarters.
45 minutes after the crash, the mother of Emily Johnson, Beth Johnson, in person went to the Bedford Police Department police station and was there to file a report that she believed her husband, her ex-husband, had abducted their child.
Johnson and his daughter died when the plane crashed into the home of his former mother-in-law. The Indiana authorities think it was intentional. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
There's another vehicle recall to tell you about, this one involving Ford pickups and SUVs. The problem, a faulty cruise control switch. It affects the 2003 models of the Ford F-150, 250, 350, 450, and 550, the Excursion SUV, and the Lincoln Blackwood pickup. ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour.
In the news this Tuesday, two Metro East clubs were shut down after weekend shootings that left two people dead. 21-year-old Corey Starks of Cahokia was shot and killed early Saturday outside Club Onyx in East St. Louis. 29-year-old Kendrick Barnes of St. Louis was fatally shot outside Club Rio. East St. Louis police are investigating both cases. The city has revoked the business licenses of both clubs until they can prove they are improving security. MoDOT is planning to install safety measures on aging bridges in the area. This week, they plan to hire a company to reinforce the bridges, including one that suffered a partial collapse last week. Many area bridges were built in the 1960s and are showing signs of wear and tear. Engineers for the state and city were out inspecting overpasses and pedestrian bridges yesterday and are expected to continue their work today. Finally this hour, David Eckstein should be back on the field soon. That's according to Cardinals team doctor George Paletta, who examined Eckstein on Sunday. Paletta diagnosed Eckstein as having a mild left oblique strain, which was the same area that was injured last season. Eckstein has not played since feeling soreness in a game against the Marlins last Wednesday. Paletta says he should be expected back in the lineup in a week to 10 days. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and McKnight, look for sunshine slowdowns there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at 367 Graham Hanley, you've got some slow areas going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, midspan into the Laclede's Landing, look for some delays. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow at the top of that ramp. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinner and Brentwood, you've got pockets of slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 64 split into the PSB, look for some delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, look for some slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry, look for some slowdowns. Eastbound 70 from 270 in the St. Charles Rock Road, you've got some delays. Northbound 270 at Dorset all the way into the 70 exit lanes. Look for some delays there as well. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44 and then again from Butler Hill into 270. Look for some slowdowns. And let's see, northbound 270 at Clayton Overpass and Ladue, look for heavy volume going on there. Southbound 170 at 270 and North Hanley, look for some delays there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, high around 50 this evening, partly cloudy, low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, high in the 50s under partly sunny skies. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have some clouds in the air and 29 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 30 and clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made.
you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
the truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. And my name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. It is election day. It is election day in the city of St. Louis. I know that there are not a whole lot of things on the ballot for some of you, but that doesn't mean that they are not important. That does not mean that they are not important. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get to the polls. You need to get to the ballot boxes. You need to get to your communities. You need to get to the vote, because we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Rodney.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you? I'm outstanding.
I'm sitting here reading today's Metro section article on Soldiers Memorial. I thought it was very timely that this article came out today. We have our Congressman Bill Clay doing something for Soldiers Memorial. Everybody knows Soldiers Memorial is in bad shape. Appreciate the Congressman's help in getting this. But he coincidentally mentions help by Slay and the Board of President Shrewsbury in getting this done. This article could have came out tomorrow, could have came out 2 weeks from today. I think it conveniently came out today.
Does he mention the schools in there?
No, it doesn't mention anything.
Does he mention what his position is on the schools?
Not at all.
The state.
We've heard from him about anything, really, to be honest with you. I would have thought he came out about the schools a long time ago. But this article, he's giving praise to Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury brought this to my attention because he knows train wreck is coming to the city, being able to maintain this building. I just think it's ironic that this article came out on election day.
Well, it's a help for Shrewsbury. Are they anticipated being a help for Shrewsbury?
That's correct. Well, I voted for Reed this morning. I just want to let you know that.
Okay. Thanks. Good looking out. And here's what I'd like for you to do. Call Congressman Clay's office. I believe it's 367-1970. And ask him the question of where's the statement on his opposition to the state takeover of our schools.
I will do that, and I wish all your listeners would do that. Bill Clay needs to step up to the plate. He has some large shoes to fill from his dad. His dad would have never allowed this kind of stuff to go on.
367-1970.
Thanks for your
call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to be talking about something that's on the minds of a lot of you right now, taxes. What is fair? What are fair taxes? What would be a fair tax? We're going to be talking about that with fairtax.org, talking about a national retail sales tax instead of income tax. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd, and I'm asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect me as your alderman for the 22nd Ward. Together, we've leveraged over $850,000 in home repair dollars for senior citizens and the disabled. We have the highest attendance at monthly ward meetings across the city every month. We've torn down over 116 dangerous buildings that were neglected for as long as 15 years. We've paved over 47 alleys and streets. 4 years ago, Jones and Ozer said no one will pay $100,000 to move into our neighborhoods, but we've proved them wrong. New homeowners have paid as much as $129,000 for their new home. Together, we're making a difference, and we're making our neighborhoods stronger. Let's continue what we've started. Vote for me, Jeffrey Boyd, on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. That's 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
I am 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. As your alderman, I have listened to you and heard your call. You wanted to see your tax dollars spent in your community. I have answered by allocating more than $180,000 for new sidewalks, street repairs, and pavement. You wanted to stabilize your community. I've answered by building 600 new homes totaling over $126 million and closing down nuisance property. On Tuesday, March 6th, answer the call. Re-elect me, Frank Williamson, 26th Ward Alderman. Committed to continue to answer to you. Paid for by committee to re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Of me, he's calling black people trash to his children, and he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep, but they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him, and they'll think that white hood's all they need.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. It's election day. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Charles Quincy Troop, good morning.
Yeah, I'm calling. You know, I'm over here. I tried to vote a paper ballot. And you can't vote paper ballots over here in the 8th Precinct. And then the election judges, they don't even have the activation card.
What do you mean they don't have what activation card?
Well, they can't activate the little computers that they have.
I got a call from someone at 5310 Euclid, precinct number 4, this morning at 6 o'clock.
That's the senior citizens building.
They're saying that none of their machines, their electric machines, are working. None of them.
Yeah, well, we went by there. They got the electric back on over there now. But they weren't working later, earlier. And over here, we don't even, and they've called down there 4 or 5 times, and they still don't have the activation cards for the computer.
And you know what's really particularly crazy about that, Quince, is that this is a tiny election. In terms of the number of things on the ballot and the number of things that the Board of Elections has to worry about with this election.
I know. This is totally incompetent.
Or intentional.
I like that word. Because, and you know, when you came, when I went into the polling places, the last time they had changed the polling places, this time they changed it. Every time you go to vote, it's a different system set up. It's different. You know, the tables are arranged different. The precincts have moved to different places. It's just crazy what's happening. And but I was very disappointed at the fact that the election board would send out these voting machines and send out these computers and then don't have the activation so people who want to vote paper ballots can't vote.
So the only thing that they're doing is taking down electric votes. I mean, yeah. the optical scan.
Yeah, automated votes. There's no paper ballot.
So have you called down to the Board of Elections?
I'm getting ready to call them now. But I'm just telling, you know, putting it out there that other people need to know. If you can't vote the paper ballot, they need to let somebody know that those machines are not capable of, or the precincts are not capable of voting the paper ballot. And that's wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Quincy.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We have much business to tend to today. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. It's election day. What are we voting for? We're voting for change. Voting for the president of the Board of Aldermen, Lewis Reed. We need an opportunity to go in the right direction for a sustained period of time. You don't get that with Jim Shrewsbury. Cannot get that with Jim Shrewsbury. He's already said, I will not change. And I don't know of any human being that I would ever trust that would say, I will never, ever change. We look at the larger world outside of this election day, and as reasons why, as explanations for, as understanding of why we are voting this morning. I brought you a story last week about what was going on at the Walter Reed Hospital, the so-called Gold Star. This is where you go. This is where you want to go when you're in the military and you get wounded. You want to be treated at Walter Reed as the Gold Star of hospital care for our brave boys and girls that have given themselves for this country. A four-month report of how that the indescribable horrors inflicted upon our soldiers from our good government. What does this have to do with Election Day? Well, the fact that you have soldiers coming home, being sent to Walter Reed Hospital, and being placed in rooms with black mold on the doors and on the ceilings, with holes in the ceiling so that they could see the toilets above them, with so many fruit flies in the room that you can't even see the soldier. That's what that when you have those types of things, they exist because of politics. We have an administration that has said, I don't care about the soldiers, I want to send the money to other people and other things and keep this war going because I want to steal the oil. That's politics, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, men and women. That's politics. That's why you're going to the polls today. That's why you have to go and vote for Lewis Reed today. Will this have an impact on Iraq? Don't think so. But the reality of it, it has an impact on your life. The quality of your life is determined by the power of the politics, the effectiveness of the politics, the connectiveness of the politics in your community. 1-877-920-WGNE. You're on the wake-up call, car phone.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, this is not the first problem with the military. You know, they had the problem with the too low a pay. What man had two kids, and he couldn't get into the Army barracks because there was not enough room, so they had to stay in these sub-lease type housing. They're sending grandmother. There was I saw on a newscast where a grandmother was killed in the war. What is America doing, and who is listening to the people about this war is not called for?
Mm.
There's a lot of other things that go on. They have a separate way of paying for the veteran type warrior, I mean the career warrior or the career soldier, and then the one who's just in there for a temporary or, you know, a reserve. So there's a lot of other things going on here that nobody is talking about, but the soldier has been dogged out, and it's this Southern mentality. And I go back to the, I always think about the Southern mentality where you have these poor people who go to war, think they're going to get their life together by going to the war, but yet the war is actually taking things from them. It just costs the country millions of dollars. Millions of dollars and nowhere to go.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Barb, good morning.
Yeah, I wanted to make an observation about the campaign ad that Shrewsbury has ran.
Sure.
It's sort of it's laughable. It illustrates everything that you've been saying about how disengaged he is. I mean, the ad, the only thing he can say is that I turned down a car. It's just almost laughable. That's his, I guess that's, you know, that's what he has to offer to the people.
But and what the other part of it is that you're right about the disengagement observation, but there's also more to it, because the real story is he turned down the car because he couldn't drive the city car to his law practice every day. You know,
okay.
If he had the city car, then he would have to drive it to his law practice, and they would see the city car sitting out at a law practice every day. So, no, it was of no use to him, not for the business that he was going to be doing.
Yeah, but that's just a weak campaign ad. He has nothing to offer,
that
shows it.
That's
Thank
a fact.
You.
And he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on it, too.
Yeah, okay then.
All right, thanks,
Barb. Have a good day.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Jeff.
Hey, what's up, Liz?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. But as far as that Walter Reed Hospital is concerned, what I think happened is, see, during this war right here, a lot of soldiers that live during this war would have died during Vietnam. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so, I mean, there are thousands, there are like over 60,000 soldiers that are seriously hurt. And I think that they didn't appropriate enough money for this war in terms of health care. A lot of doctors are over in Iraq right now, you know, servicing the soldiers that are injured. And because of all this political crap, they cut money. They did cut money for veterans. And they didn't really understand the magnitude of these injuries. Or they did understand, and they just were negligent. But it's funny that nobody has mentioned anything about all this stuff happened while Donald Rumsfeld was the Secretary of Defense.
Well, the bigger joke is that they're talking about bringing in, or a joke anyway, I don't know if it's a bigger one, but they're talking about bringing in Colin Powell to help investigate the crimes against the soldiers. And he's the one that said that there was no, first of all, that there was no Gulf War syndrome. And second of all, there wasn't any, what's the one that came out of Vietnam?
Agent Orange.
So he's going to be investigating the soldiers that he looked in the face and denied them treatment? What a joke. What a joke.
On top of that, too, Liz, this is something that a lot of people don't even know about. See, I'm a disabled veteran, too. And last year, I mean, they weren't just trying to get rid of Big Bird. They were also trying to get a lot of disabled veterans who were receiving 10% and 20% rating to take a lump sum payment. so that they wouldn't have to provide health care for you anymore.
Wow.
Or money.
Wow.
And that was voted down. See, I get a magazine every 3 months, from the DAV.
And I got to go. I'm sorry, okay. Jeff. Thank you so much. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Westbound 64 between, or westbound 5570 and 64 split in the PSB. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 between K and 79. Look for that traffic to be easing. Eastbound, westbound 270 at West Florissant and Graham Hanley. Look for an animal on the roadway, so expect slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Doherty Ferry, look for slow traffic around the 44 interchange. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 in the Chain of Rocks Bridge, look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the Illinois Bank in the landing. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, look for traffic easing. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge is now looking good. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road, look for traffic easing. Westbound 64 at Bowell Avenue all the way to 5570 Merge, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and 170, look for some delays, but it should be moving well at this hour. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, low around 30. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees in clouds. Lambert Fields reporting 30 in clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd, and I'm asking for your vote on March 6th. To re-elect me as your alderman for the 22nd Ward. Together, we've leveraged over $850,000 in home repair dollars for senior citizens and the disabled. We have the highest attendance at monthly ward meetings across the city every month. We've torn down over 116 dangerous buildings that were neglected for as long as 15 years. We've paved over 47 alleys and streets. 4 years ago, Jones and Ozer said no one will pay $100,000 to move into our neighborhoods, but we've proved them wrong. New homeowners have paid as much as $129,000 for their new home. Together, we're making a difference, and we're making our neighborhoods stronger. Let's continue what we've started. Vote for me, Jeffrey Boyd, on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
I am 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. As your alderman, I have listened to you and heard your call. You wanted to see your tax dollars spent in your community. I've answered by allocating more than $180,000 for new sidewalks, street repairs, and pavement. You wanted to stabilize your community. I've answered by building 600 new homes totaling over $126 million and closing down nuisance property. On Tuesday, March 6th, Answer the call. Reelect me, Frank Williamson, 26th Ward Alderman, committed to continue to answer to you. Paid for by Committee to Reelect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Last year, Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones were the leaders of not one fraudulent failed recall attempt in the 22nd Ward, but two. They paid workers in excess of $3,000 to get names on a petition by any means necessary. Can you believe it? More than eight dead people's names were on those petitions. That's right, dead people. This disgusting act perpetrated the biggest voter fraud in the city of St. Louis, and it's still under investigation today. What were they thinking? Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones served the 22nd Ward for over 20 years. On their watch, major department stores like Woolworth and others along Martin Luther King Drive have left. Not only did the stores abandon our neighborhoods, so did Ozier and Jones. They had a bad habit of not returning phone calls, few community meetings, and no real concern for the residents. With this type of behavior, why should we believe anything that Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones say? On March 6th, let's say no to Ozier. Stick with Boyd. Going backwards should not be an option.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jeffrey O. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson, Boyd Treasurer.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children. And not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by Committee to Elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, Treasurer.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Today is election day. You need to get up, you need to get out, and you need to go to the polls and vote. Don't forget, President of the Board of Aldermen, we're talking about Louis Reed. You need to get out there and you need to vote. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't vote. Don't let anybody lead you to believe that your vote won't matter. Get up and go out and vote. Today is election day. It's a beautiful day out there. It is a cool March day, but that is no reason not to get out there and to vote. My name is Elizabeth Brown, Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get to me. And we have to talk this morning about taxes. April's coming up, so let's talk about taxes. And we're going to have that conversation with the national radio spokesman for FairTax.org, joining us from Houston, Texas, Bill Phelps. Bill, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Well, let's make April 15th just another beautiful spring day.
All right. All right. So talk. Wait a minute, Bill, before we get to taxes, you have a connection here with Missouri.
Yes. Well, I'm a native Missourian, former Missouri Lieutenant Governor.
There you go. What year are we talking about?
Well, I was elected in 72, reelected in 76. And, you know, I served in office with Kit Bond as governor, Jack Danforth, and John Ashcroft.
Okay. Well, talk to us about this fair tax proposal that you have here.
Well, I'm a volunteer spokesman for FairTax.org, the Americans for Fair Taxation. It is a proposal in Congress that would replace all taxes on income. You would get a full paycheck without any deductions for income tax or payroll taxes, and you would control the amount of tax you pay by what you buy, new goods and services, over and above the poverty level of support. So for the first time under the fair tax, the low-income people would be tax-free, because low-income people today are paying the hidden taxes. that are priced into the everything we buy. And these hidden taxes are the corporate income taxes, the payroll taxes, and compliance costs with the code that are paid by every part that goes into the production of a product. And so every person, poor or wealthy, pays these hidden taxes. What the fair tax does is give a prebate, that is a monthly payment, in advance each month from Social Security, making that family tax-free on the family size. For example, a family of four would be tax-free on $26,400 of spending with a monthly check of $506. A couple, a married couple, two people, would be tax-free on $19,600 of spending with a monthly check of $376. Or a single person would be tax-free on $9,800 of spending on new goods and services with a monthly check of $188. Now, this means that the American system would be able to better compete with our foreign competitors. It means more American jobs.
Well, and before we get to the job
sure.
component of this, you would eliminate the Social Security taxes?
That's right.
So where would the cost of paying for Social Security come from? What
well, the fair tax would provide dollar-for-dollar replacement for the current revenue of the federal government from the income and the Social Security taxes, and this is designed to be revenue-neutral to the federal government.
Well, how,
but it would
how,
also provide a better financial base on the long term for supporting the Social Security and Medicare programs.
Well, how? I mean, because I'm looking at your paper and it says that the that your plan does not raise any more or less revenue.
That's it's revenue neutral.
Okay.
For the money that's currently collected by the federal government, it replaces the money that is now collected by the income taxes and payroll taxes. So the total revenue of the federal government is the same, and so the that will support both Social Security and Medicare at its current levels. What I'm saying is, over the long term, the consumption economy is going to grow faster or better, while the current financial base for Social Security is a shrinking financial base when you consider the demographics.
Well, okay, based upon consumption, so the way that this would work is it depends upon us buying more things.
No, what it means is that we'll have more money to spend
well,
in buying things because you would get a full paycheck, and thus you can decide what you buy. If you buy used property, there'd be no tax. The only tax would apply over and above the poverty level of support when you buy new goods and services.
But when we look at where we are right now, Bill, in terms of the income that people are making right now and what the cost is for things that people are purchasing right now and getting this money back in your pocket, it doesn't seem to match with what people are already overspending right now. So
well,
how
more money to spend with a full paycheck. And what it means is you're not going to pay more at the cash register because it's replacing the hidden taxes that are built into the price of everything you buy. So when you take out the corporate income tax, payroll taxes, compliance costs of the producers, then the sales tax is applied, you're going to pay approximately the same amount at the tax register
in terms of
total dollars.
So would corporations be ending up paying more or less taxes?
Well, corporations wouldn't pay anything. You see, corporations don't pay taxes now. All they do is collect taxes from consumers. Consumers pay the corporate income tax. And, you know, that's the biggest myth that Washington ever invented, that
somebody else pays
the corporate income tax.
So this tax
pay it.
So the tax cut that has been given to the one that George Bush is pushing doesn't benefit corporations?
Well, right now, the corporate income tax is in place.
Okay.
And it is as high as 35%.
Okay, so they do pay taxes.
Well, they collect them from the consumer. the corporation is nothing but a collection agency. And so in the price of everything they sell is included the corporate income tax. So the consumer pays the corporate income tax.
But the consumer also pays for the price of the products that
That's
corporations
right.
have
exactly.
as well. And
exactly,
so when consumers,
the tax is one of those costs.
Irrespective of the tax, consumers still pay, and as a result of that, corporations also pay taxes. So
the corporation pays taxes out of what the consumer pays.
Mm-hmm. So,
and so the price of everything they sell includes, as a cost of doing business, the corporate income tax.
So
if you eliminate that, then the price is going to come down.
And what if it doesn't come down?
Well, it will through price competition.
I guess people would look at what happened with ExxonMobil and all the other oil companies and how much profit they made this year as a proof of why would a corporation, since they answer to their board of directors, why would they ever not make as much money as possible? Why would
because price competition. You see it in advertisements every day.
But we don't see it in the gasoline. Hasn't proven that.
You see prices change at the gas pump daily, practically.
But we also know about the extraordinary historic profit that these companies made, irrespective of what the price of a gallon or a price of a barrel of oil is.
Corporations. Profits vary from year to year, depending upon.
Let me ask you this. Is there written in your plan a promise that or a guarantee that if prices don't go down, then they get to be taxed?
No.
Okay.
We
have to take
a
break.
Market in this country.
We have to take a break, Bill.
Okay.
We will be back. I'm talking to Bill Phelps, national radio spokesman for fairtax.org. Stay with me.
I am 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. As your alderman, I have listened to you and heard your call. You wanted to see your tax dollars spent in your community? I've answered by allocating more than $180,000 for new sidewalk street repairs and pavement. You wanted to stabilize your community? I've answered by building 600 new homes totaling over $126 million and closing down nuisance property. On Tuesday, March 6th, answer the call. Re-elect me, Frank Williamson, 26th Ward Alderman, committed to continue to answer to you. Paid for by committee to re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative of Heartland Bank and Securities America, are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd. As an educator, having taught for 15 years in the military and 2 years at Harris Stowe, I feel that I have some degree of qualifications to assess the educational process. I would like to share with you my position on the state takeover of St. Louis Public Schools. I'm a product of St. Louis Public Schools. My son graduated from Cleveland. My oldest daughter is a seventh grader at Bunch, and my youngest attends Kennard as a first grader. There are some that suggest that I support a state takeover of our school system. Well, here's the truth. I do not support a takeover of our school system by the state. Having children within the district would make no sense for me to support such a drastic measure that would cause a hardship not only on the district, but on our community. If the district is good enough for me to send my children to it, then it's good enough to be led by elected members of our community. Be careful who you get your messages from. They may be less than honest. Vote for truth. Vote for me, Jeffrey Boyd, on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Now the whole world still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. The little things and the joy they bring.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning, this hour, with the national radio spokesman for FairTax.org. Joining us from Houston, Bill Phelps. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
And we're talking about the impact of this plan of the elimination of the income tax system on corporations.
Well, it would be eliminated on all businesses and all individuals. There'd be no longer any tax on labor or capital, and the tax would be paid at the time of retail purchase of a new good or service. And the only tax would apply over and above the poverty level of spending by individuals.
So if America stopped buying things, then we wouldn't have money to pay for Social Security, correct?
But people won't stop buying things. Matter of fact, the consumption economy holds up better during recessions than the income economy.
Well, we look at that, the levels of indebtedness now. We look at the levels of the fact that Americans, this is the worst period in our country's history in terms of the amount of money that Americans are have saved money.
That's not correct. The savings rate is not measured in terms of other asset values have increased, like homes, and many people have their bulk of their savings in their home. That's not included in the savings rate as it's calculated and broadcast.
Well, actually, there have been numerous of reports that have come out in just in the last couple of years about the fact that Americans are not saving. And true fact, it is most Americans' wealth is measured in their homes. But when we look at the debt that people have, the unprecedented debt, actually, that
it's also unprecedented asset values.
But it's still unprecedented.
The total asset values, including homes, are higher today than they've ever been.
But there's more debt attached to that value. In fact,
but the net worth is better. But that's beside the point.
Well, Let me tell you what I'm trying to make here is that if we are going to replace the income tax with the ability, and all of the money will come from the things that people will buy, the consumption of that. And we look at where we are right now, consumption-wise, the debt that people have in their homes, the debt that people have on their credit cards, the lack of savings that people have. Certainly, we are at the place that we are right now should give us all pause for, okay, so now we're going to base Social Security and all of the other needs that our society has as a democracy on the ability for an indebted society to buy more things.
Well, what the fair tax will do is to give people more money to spend, whether to pay down debt or to buy new things. And what you're missing here is the fact that the fair tax is not an add-on tax. It's not an additional tax. It replaces the hidden taxes that are in the price of everything we buy today. And so,
only if we buy.
Well, people will buy new or used services after the fair tax the same way that they do now.
And again, it goes back to the place where we are in terms of our indebtedness and society in terms of our indebtedness. To me, it's a very uncomfortable thing to think that my Social Security is going to be dependent upon the number of iPods that somebody is able to borrow money to buy.
The fact is that the consumption economy, what people buy, has been growing. If you look back 10 years, the consumption economy today is much bigger
and so is
than
the
it was
debt.
10 years ago.
And so is our debt. We're going in debt to buy these things. And how can that be healthy?
The debt is as a percent of gross national product, total goods and services produced, is a lower percentage today. So what the fair tax does is to lower the cost of the federal government's collecting its revenue by something like $250 billion. Furthermore, if you're concerned about the federal debt, the federal IRS admits it doesn't collect $300 billion today. These are from the people who deal in the cash economy. It's from the drug dealers. It's from the illegals. And that's under the income tax system. It's also from the high-income people that engage in these tax shelters that are held in offshore. all of that goes away with the fair tax, because when anybody buys something, they're going to pay the same tax.
Well, the same thing would go away if the federal government would not slice the amount of people that work for the IRS that are paid to collect the taxes. If we would pay the people and hire the people and put people in jobs that help the economy to collect these taxes, then we would have more of that money back into to reduce our deficit and to pay our bills. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the system that's bad. The system is driving American jobs away from our shores. A corporation that has an offshore headquarters, like in a place like Bermuda, and there are a lot of them, and it has manufacturing plants abroad and maybe a plant here, they're better able to compete in America against American-made products.
So we change the law.
So
we change the laws.
Businesses to leave America.
So then we change the law. So we change the law so that they cannot do that. That's not hard to
do.
That's not hard to do.
You can't direct a free economy.
You can certainly say that they can't get a tax break if they do that. Sure, you can. Sure, absolutely, you can.
It's the tax law that causes them to leave.
So you change it. So they can't.
That's what I'm saying. We need to change the tax law so that American jobs can come home.
But that doesn't mean that we. That doesn't mean that we.
It costs more to produce American automobiles, and St. Louis certainly is a big producer or assembler of automobiles.
Used to be.
And the income tax system is hurting St. Louis. St. Louis is going to lose some automobile jobs, and the problem is that. An automobile produced abroad can be sold in this country for less than the one made here.
And I guess that comes down to the plan that you have, the fair tax that you have, is we need, given the fact that we have had so many people and so many think tanks and so many groups come to us and say that we have the fix, and the fix is this, but embedded in none of those fixes is a guarantee that, well, if this doesn't work, then we will pay you back for your losses. We will change
it. There's no guarantee in our current system. We have a free market in this country, and when the tax system is so bad as it is now, people will find ways to avoid paying the taxes.
Do you think that it's fair?
You've got $300 billion that the IRS is not collecting from high-income people and cash economy. And if you want to provide a better base for supporting the federal government in the long term, the fair tax is best, because you're going to collect from the cash economy when they buy things, and there will be no reason to have the tax shelters. There'll be no reason for jobs and American people to leave our country because of the tax code.
And I guess what I'm saying is that you're saying that this will work. You're saying that this will bring more money in. That this will be fair. You're saying
it's
that
fair
that
to
that
all income groups, and for the first
and
time.
Wait a minute. Let me ask my question.
Free.
Let me ask my question.
Sure.
So you're saying that Social Security will be fully funded.
Yes.
You're saying that all of these and what I'm asking
at the
for
level,
what I'm asking for is the guarantee
the money that Social Security is collecting from the Social Security taxes.
Given all the promises that have not been kept and the miscalculations that have been made, why is it unfair for a person that is listening to the plan that you're offering to ask for a guarantee in it that this will pay for it?
Well, there's no guarantee involved in anything in the free market. The free market is a price of a good is a, depending upon a willing buyer and a willing seller.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and
this
you're
is
saying
not
that
Cuba.
This, but
Cuba,
you're saying
everything's controlled, and you know,
you're
poverty.
Saying you're saying that
Cuba
this will, but you're saying that this will work. But you're
government
saying, but you're
this
saying
is not
that this
Cuba.
Will work.
This is a free market.
But you're
America.
Saying that this will work, and why can't I ask for a guarantee if you're telling me that this is going to work?
Because there's no guarantee needed. The price system will work under the free
it
market
will work.
As it has in the past. If you're Okay. What you're changing is a terrible tax system that we have today that's costing American jobs.
But you can't offer me a guarantee. You can't offer me a guarantee that your plan will work.
Well, I think it's a lot better than the current plan, and let's give it a try.
I'm tired of being experimented on, Bill, for real. I'm really tired of being experimented on. But
well,
I do want to thank you.
We've had a terrible experience since 1913 with the income tax. It's time to do what's better, and this fair tax plan has been researched by some of the best leading economists in the country.
But you can't guarantee me. You can't guarantee me.
Well, there's no guarantee because the free market works.
All right. Thanks, Bill Phelps, National Radio Spokesman for Fairtax.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It's the Senate Armed Services Committee's turn questioning Army officials about the conditions at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. President Bush is about to speak to the American Legion with a call to fix those problems ASAP. He's also forming a bipartisan panel to look into the issue. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
President Bush will announce two household names will assume the chairmanship of a presidential commission on military care. Former HHS Secretary Donna Shalala and former Senator Bob Dole. The commission will look at more than Walter Reed Army Hospital here in Washington. It will review treatment at every veterans facility in the U.S. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
More American troops killed in Iraq. The military says 9 service members killed in separate attacks north of Baghdad. Vice President Cheney has spent a lot of time sitting on planes lately, and he's developed a blood clot in his leg. Dr. Mark Adelman of New York University Hospital says the condition can be serious, but the vice president should be okay.
Blood vessels below the knees are quite small, and two things happen then. One is that the blood vessels, the clots within the blood vessels, tend to not travel as much. And if they do travel, they're smaller, so they don't cause as much damage.
Cheney's doctors think he'll just need some medicine to treat the clot. Guess what? It's back. If you live across much of the northern part of the country, you know what we mean.
Just 2 weeks before the arrival of spring, bitter cold grips the nation from the plains to the northeast, fueled by winds gusting to 40 miles an hour. Temperatures plunged overnight, dropping 30 degrees in some places. Chicago's high of 33 slid to 12. Boston's 39 degrees also dropped to 12. Philadelphia's 45 fell to 15 degrees.
ABC Sam Champion in chilly New York City, which, by the way, is where the Mega Millions jackpot will be drawn tonight. $355 million up for grabs. Usually they do it in Atlanta, but since it's so big, they're doing it in Times Square. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow up 73 points. This is ABC News.
Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix, pantoprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
An avowed pedophile has taken an interest in the 2008 presidential election, and the candidates are not a bit happy about it. Here's ABC's Bob Schmidt.
His name is Lindsey Ashford, a 39-year-old man who advocates sex between adults and underage girls. Now, according to the New York Daily News, Ashford's website is handicapping the 2008 presidential race based on how cute the candidates' daughters and granddaughters are. The kids' pictures are there, too. Ashford took down photos of Senator Barack Obama's two daughters, ages 8 and 5, citing copyright issues raised by Obama's lawyer. Republican Mitt Romney's granddaughter is also pictured on the website. A Romney spokesman calls it absolutely revolting. Bob Schmidt, ABC News, New York.
More dads are opting to skip business trips. About 50% of male senior executives told the Association of Executive Search Consultants they'd prefer to keep the work-related travel to a minimum in order to spend more time with their families. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ferenc-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a Joplin 7th grader will be tried as an adult after a school shooting. Thomas White was 13 at the time of the October incident, in which he fired an assault rifle inside his middle school and pointed the gun at school administrators. White, now 14, is charged with two counts of first-degree assault, one count of unlawful use of a weapon, and one count of armed criminal action. He is also charged with attempting to escape from the Joplin Juvenile Detention Center 2 days after the shooting. White has pleaded not guilty to all counts. A Metro East city may be imposing a curfew at its movie theaters. The Fairview Heights City Council will look at a proposal this evening that would make it illegal for anyone under 17 to be in a movie theater alone after 9 p.m. Teenagers 16 and under would have to be accompanied by someone over 21 after that time. The proposal was aimed at stopping discipline problems, such as the December incident where a fight broke out in the lobby of the St. Clair 10 Cine. If the bill was approved, violators of the ordinance would face a penalty of up to $500. Finally this hour, CompUSA is closing its St. Louis area stores. The Dallas-based chain of stores announced last week that it is shutting down all three of its stores in the area in the next few months. CompUSA's restructuring plan involves other cost-cutting measures, as well as a cash infusion from its parent company, U.S. Commercial Corp. The chain's area locations are in Sunset Hills, Baldwin, and Bridgeton. Employees have estimated that several hundred people would lose their jobs in the St. Louis area. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Eastbound 40 between Mason and 270, look for a medical emergency on the ramp to northbound 270, so you've got some delays going on around that ramp. Southbound 55 from Park through 44, look for a disabled vehicle at Park, and that's causing a few traffic tie-ups. Westbound 70 between 40 and Route Z, look for a left lane closed due to heavy traffic. Westbound 40 between 270 and Mason, look for one lane closed, causing some delays there. Eastbound 44, Rad Vandeventer and Grand, look for right lane closed due to road construction. Westbound 40 between Grand and Vandeventer, you've got a right lane closed as well, so it's a mirror on both sides. Westbound 40 between Brentwood and McKnight, look for road construction, left lane's closed. Westbound 40 between Lindbergh and Spady, look for left lane closed due to road construction as well. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. Eastbound 40 between Chesterfield Parkway all the way into 270, look for no delays. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for no problems there. And eastbound 70 around the Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road, look for that traffic to start freeing up this hour. Northbound 270 is looking good around 44 and then again around the 70 interchange. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny, high around 50. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, partly sunny, high around 50. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then Thursday, partly sunny skies with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies, 31 degrees, Lambert Fields reporting 32. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me, brother, help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother, help me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this morning, today is Election Day. But we're going to take a trip to Accra, Ghana. Dr. Rosa Kincaid, MD, who is my co-host on Wellness 101 on Fridays, is in Accra right now. And she is there with Dr. Kofi Gottlieb and Dr. Noah Macy. Good morning, doctors.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm here with Dr. Kofi Noah Macy. He is a Ph.D. Botanist. He got his degree from the University of Wisconsin, and he actually did his studies at the Missouri Botanical Gardens, which I did not know.
Excellent.
Until I just spoke to him.
Excellent.
He has had an herbal clinic here in Accra for many, many years, we're here having a conversation with him because we are trying to learn how to be well, and we want to learn about herbs and about healing, and I think we have someone here who's been for many, many, many years helping the people here in Ghana. So,
I am... Go ahead.
Yes, go on.
Question? No, I was trying to. So this is Dr. Macy?
No, his name is Dr. Noah Macy.
Dr. Noah Macy.
Yeah. Kofi Gottlieb Noah Macy.
Gotcha. And good morning, doctor.
Hold on.
Okay. We're going to have to switch phones back and forth.
Hello.
Good morning, hello. Doctor. How are you? Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very good. How are you?
Good.
Very good. We're going to be talking about herbs this morning and what we have in Ghana right now. Talk with Dr. Kincaid.
Yes, yes. All together we were Dr.
Kincaid.
Yeah, we are talking about all together Dr. Kincaid. Yes.
Excellent, excellent.
Yes, speak on.
Okay, here's what I would like to do. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put Dr. Kincaid back on the line again so she can help navigate us through exactly what it is that we are seeing and experiencing in Accra this morning. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when I come back, I will have Dr. Kincaid back on the line so that she can help paint the picture of what we're seeing and what we will be able to have back with us when she comes back from Ghana back home. So stay with us this morning. I'm talking to Dr. Rosa Kincaid. She's in Accra, Ghana. I'm so jealous. She's off. She's with Dr. Kofi Gottlieb Noah Macy.
Now you can talk to her.
Very good. Hold on.
Hello, ma'am.
Dr. Kincaid, we're taking a break. Stay with us, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd, and I'm asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect me as your alderman for the 22nd Ward. Together, we've leveraged over $850,000 in home repair dollars for senior citizens and the disabled. We have the highest attendance at monthly ward meetings across the city every month. We've torn down over 116 dangerous buildings that were neglected for as long as 15 years. We've paved over 47 alleys and streets. 4 years ago, Jones and Ozer said no one will pay $100,000 to move into our neighborhoods. But we've proved them wrong. New homeowners have paid as much as $129,000 for their new home. Together, we're making a difference. And we're making our neighborhoods stronger. Let's continue what we've started. Vote for me, Jeffrey Boyd, on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
I am 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. As your alderman, I have listened to you and heard your call. You wanted to see your tax dollars spent in your community? I've answered by allocating more than $180,000 for new sidewalks, street repairs, and pavement. You wanted to stabilize your community? I've answered by building 600 new homes totaling over $126 million and closing down nuisance property. On Tuesday, March 6th, answer the call. Re-elect me, Frank Williamson, 26th Ward Alderman, committed to continue to answer to you. Paid for by committee to re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am here this morning. We are fortunate to have Dr. Rosa Kincaid, who's joining us from Accra. She's in Ghana right now. And Dr. Kincaid, you are there talking to Dr. Kofi Gutlap Noah Macy. And you're talking to him why?
Because he has a wealth of knowledge about the herbs. He's been treating people here in Accra and for Ghana for how many? For at least 30 years. He actually has done research and even done some double-blind studies on these herbs. So people who think that this is just random, he actually has research here, and he has a wealth of products that many of which I'm interested in.
Hello? Dr.
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Kincaid, I guess then maybe we should start with asking or talking, you asking the doctor about, because I understand that his son is there to help us with the interpretation process of this. Is that correct?
Yes, his son is right here with us. If you would like to speak directly with him.
Well, here's
he has textbooks. He's in the textbooks that the local children use. He has the research studies here. He can explain some of them to you. He has one in front of me about a contraceptive device. If you would like to just speak direct, would you like to hear about that?
Actually,
please?
No. That's not where I want to start. Let's start with some of the cures that you talk about the doctor having. Can we ask the doctor about some of those, please?
Okay. What are some of the cures that the doctor has developed herbally?
Yeah, we have a cure for.
Okay, put him on the phone so that we can hear him better, Dr. Kincaid.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Tell him about the cures that you have, that he's talking about.
Yeah, we have cures for things like snake bites. Once you are not yet dead and you take that preparation, you won't die again. There are preparations for family planning, like navel contraceptive, which is a plant extract used by women just on the navel. And then the latest product we have now is called Moringa, and that is supposed to take care of so many diseases. And we have hair grower, that preparation which enables people with bald hair to grow their hair again.
Wait a minute. You have a preparation that helps people that are bald grow their hair again?
Exactly.
And what kind of product is this, and have you done studies on this?
Yeah, it's an ointment which you just rub on the head. Yeah, we've done studies. What we have here are real stories, so that Dr. Anomizi himself started going bald at 60, discovered this, applied it to his hair. He's 90 today, and he still has a lot of hair on his head. So this one, people just take it and they see the results. So you really don't need to conduct studies. What we have are testimonies.
Okay, so we have testimonial evidence of the success of the products. And this is from a plant? This hair-growing product is from a plant?
Exactly.
And,
from a plant.
Okay, and so what do you do with it? Do you process it somehow, or do you – and how does a person take it?
Oh, we just make extracts. These are, for instance, the hair grower is just an oil extract, and you apply it to your hair just like a pomade.
Uh huh. And do you apply it every day for the rest of your life, or
No. When your hair grows, you can stop using it.
Really?
So maybe we give you some 2, 3, 4 months, and then you stop using it. It depends upon the extent to which your baldness has developed. The extent to which your baldness has developed. If the follicles are not blocked, it grows very quickly.
So how is it that the rest of the world hasn't found out about this, doctor? Do you know how many bald men that there are in America that would love to have their hair back?
Yeah, it's purely a communication problem.
Uh-huh.
If we have access to the multimedia and huge advertising companies, we could also put it on stream, but without that access, you only get to know through this kind of channel.
So what else? Okay, we have you said, what was this, Moringa?
Moringa, that's newly, I would say discovered, it's been there from creation. And it's just a plant which is supposed to prevent more than 300 diseases. And we are presently preparing to have it replace almost everything we make because it does almost everything. We take it ourselves every day,
and
including HIV/AIDS.
So what other kinds of diseases does it? Does it cure the diseases or it prevents the diseases?
Cures and prevents.
What are some of the diseases that it cures?
There's a long list, 300. Would you like, okay, hypertension, diabetes, arthritis, malaria, snake bite? It's quite a long list. But you just type Moringa on your search window on your computer, and you'll be surprised.
So
all this information is on the Internet.
And is this a product that you sell, doctor, or the product that you...
Yes, it's a product that is on the market here. We've already put it on the market. You can just get to the shop and buy it. We've labeled it Moringa leaf powder. Just add it to your food.
And how do you how do you spell it?
Moringa, Moringa.
What are some of the other products that you have there?
Well, we have a product for contraception, nasal contraceptive. It's a plant extract which is applied externally for preventing unwanted pregnancy. We've been using this for about 24 years now, and clinical observations in women have shown that it's 90% successful.
And you've had clinical trials with that?
Yeah. And that was from 1983 to 2000.
1983 to 2000? That's how long
yes.
the tests went on.
Yeah.
Okay, and what was...
Quite a long time. What happened is that women who have complications with the orthodox family planning preparations resort to herbal ones finally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is purely herbal.
It's
so we found out during this period that it works with them.
So it's a purely herbal product.
Yes.
And okay, so we have the Moringa, we have the
contraceptive.
What else?
And then we have a preparation called Venkil. It's an oral snake bite antidote, and it's also a plant extract which you just drink after you've had a snake bite, wherever you are, or scorpion bite, or maybe tetanus, and then you won't die again. And that one too has been done in the lab.
One of the big issues here in America, doctor, is the issue of obesity. And is there anything that you all have herbally that would be, I don't know, an appetite suppressant, a weight loss herb? Have you found anything like that?
Yeah, the most common one we have is just honey mixed with lime. We mix honey and lime and just take that, and you'll find yourself losing weight.
Honey mixed.
Very simple.
Honey
mixed with lime. You know lime, lemon.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I know exactly lime. And
honey and lemon juice.
Okay.
You just mix that and drink it. And you start losing weight fast.
Interesting. And
very interesting.
So when you talk to Dr. Kincaid, what are some of the things that you're going to be showing her? Aside from these products, what are some of the other things that you're going to be showing and introducing her to?
We are going to show you a product called Jaundex. It's for treatment of hepatitis. Hepatitis is a very serious problem. It's claimed that there's no cure, but we have something for hepatitis. And then there is something for repelling mosquitoes, insect repellent. We have something for correcting blurred vision. Those who have blurred vision and would like to stop using glasses. They are just capsules you take, and then you get your vision corrected. There's something for treatment of hypertension, and then there's something also for the treatment of piles, and then malaria also. There's something also for diabetes.
And most of these, or all of these, are plant-based?
They are all 100% plant-based. No synthetic chemicals in any of them. The idea is to have these preparations at about 100th the cost of orthodox medicine. So, for instance, if you are using...
Dr. Macy, what we have to take a break right now. I'll be right back with you. Stay with us, okay?
Okay, bye.
No, hold on, hold on. Hold on. We'll be back.
Okay. Okay.
Kenneth Jones were the leaders of not one fraudulent failed recall attempt in the 22nd Ward, but two. They paid workers in excess of $3,000 to get names on a petition by any means necessary. Can you believe it? More than eight dead people's names were on those petitions. That's right, dead people. This disgusting act perpetrated the biggest voter fraud in the city of St. Louis, and it's still under investigation today. What were they thinking? Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones served the 22nd Ward for over 20 years. On their watch, major department stores like Woolworth and others along Martin Luther King Drive have left. Not only did the stores abandon our neighborhoods, so did Ozier and Jones. They had a bad habit of not returning phone calls, few community meetings, and no real concern for the residents. With this type of behavior, why should we believe anything that Jay Ozier and Kenneth Jones say? On March 6th, let's say no to Ozier. Stick with Boyd. Going backwards should not be an option.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jeffrey O. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
I am a parent, and I live in the city of St. Louis. There is nothing that is more important to me than the education of children. And not just my children, but all children. Unfortunately, not all people feel the same. The state of Missouri is attempting to take over our public schools by eliminating our right to vote for the people that we want to run our school district. Well, you know what? The state is wrong. We live in the city of St. Louis where our children attend public schools, so we should decide who educates our children. Someone needs to stand up and fight for the protection of our children and our votes. That's why I'm going to vote Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen. He is the only candidate in this race who has said no to a state takeover. We need someone who's fighting on our side. So on March 6th, I'm taking my children and I'm going to the polls and I'm voting Louis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Paid for by Committee to Elect Louis Reed, Thomas Shepard, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
This is Alderman Jeffrey Boyd, and I'm asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect me as your alderman for the 22nd Ward. Together, we've leveraged over $850,000 in home repair dollars for senior citizens and the disabled. We have the highest attendance at monthly ward meetings across the city every month. We've torn down over 116 dangerous buildings that were neglected for as long as 15 years. We've paved over 47 alleys and streets. 4 years ago, Jones and Ozier said no one would pay $100,000 to move into our neighborhoods. But we've proved them wrong. New homeowners have paid as much as $129,000 for their new home. Together, we're making a difference. And we're making our neighborhoods stronger. Let's continue what we've started. Vote for me, Jeffrey Boyd, on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Come away with me in the night.
Come away with me, and I will write you a song. Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Come away with me. My name is Liz Brown. This morning I'm going to spend a few more minutes talking to Dr. Rosa Kincaid, who's joining us from Accra, Ghana. And we're going to have a conversation with our friends from American United for Separation of Church and State. And let me get back to Dr. Rosa Kincaid. Dr. Kincaid?
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Kincaid. Go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that today is the 50th anniversary of the independence of Ghana.
That's correct.
And they're having just beautiful, huge celebrations here all day.
Wonderful.
And it's just been just great. We have people from all over the world here celebrating.
And I took a quick moment to go and look up some of the things we were told about with Dr. Kofi Gottlieb Noah Macy, the Moringa, plant that he says has all of these wonderful curatives for 300 diseases, and there's quite a bit of information on the internet about this Moringa.
Oh yes, Liz, I will be bringing a nice supply of that back along with the hair grower. So I am going to be selling these products from my office. So these products will be very available, and we will also give you Dr. Noah Macy's webpage, and you can go on and check it out yourself.
And give us that right quick, please. Give us that right quick.
Okay, I'm going to give you over to, let's see, what do we have here? Email is S as in Sam, N O A M as in Mary, E S as in Sam, I at yahoo.com.
Very good. And I want to thank you very much, Dr. Rosa Kincaid, joining us this morning. And I'm just trying to keep my jealousy under tap, okay? I am so jealous that you're in Accra right now, Ghana, and I am not. Have a wonderful trip. We'll be talking again, Dr.
Okay.
Rosa Kincaid. And thank you so much. And please thank Dr. Kofi Gottlieb Noah Macy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
They thank you, too,
for
giving them the opportunity to let you know about the product.
And also don't forget that we are recorded at whiterosesociety.org, so if he wants to go back and listen to the show, they're more than welcome to do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much. 454.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call, and it is election day. Please don't forget, get out there and vote. We have many, 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 many reasons to get out and vote. The number one reason, of course, is the election of Lewis Reed as president of the Board of Aldermen. And we're going to talk about some politics right now. The quality of your life is determined, often largely determined, by the quality of politics that you have going on in your world. And I have a guest this morning, Rob Boston. He is the Assistant Director of Communications for Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. And we're here to talk about the First Freedom Project. Rob, good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And I love this name. It sounds innocuous. No, it doesn't even sound innocuous. It sounds like something that somebody should be waving a flag and wearing red, white, and blue while talking about the First Freedom Project. It's got to be good, right?
Oh, I think so. One thing about our organization, you know from our name where we stand.
Okay. So talk to us about the First Freedom Project.
Well, we decided to join forces with another group called the Interfaith Alliance, which is a group of progressive religious bodies, to promote the idea of some core issues related to the First Amendment. One of the reasons that this was done was that there was some concern that Americans may not be as knowledgeable about what the First Amendment says and the rights it gives us. And one way to help people understand that is to remind them of it. So we're trying to collect some signatures on a petition. And people can go to firstfreedomfirst.org and check that out and sign the petition if they're so inclined.
So what is the First Freedom Project?
this there are a couple of things going on right now that's kind of interesting related to this term, First Freedom. We have our own project called First Freedom First, but at the same time, the Justice Department has started something called the First Freedom Project, which we're kind of upset about because it kind of rips off our good project with their thing we think is not so good. The Justice Department is actually trying to say that it's this big defender of religious liberty, and they put out this huge report.
A 43-page report.
Yeah, dealing with various types of alleged abuses of religious liberty that they are supposedly correcting. Now, some of it is unobjectionable. I'll give them that. But there's also some extremely controversial stuff in that report that they are claiming is religious liberty. For example,
They're talking about the abuses of religious liberty.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, that's what they're calling it. Now, their definition of that is a little bit strange. For example, they believe that religious organizations should be able to take taxpayer money, your money and my money and the money of all the listeners, and refuse to hire people of certain religious beliefs, even with the taxpayer money. They also believe somehow that private school vouchers are a religious right. You have the right to have those provided by the state, and if the state doesn't want to provide them, that's some type of a violation of religious liberty, which to me is a rather curious definition of religious liberty.
Well, let's go back to the first point, the one where that religious groups would have the right to discriminate. Talk to us about that.
Well, that's a very compelling issue right now because there's been a lot of talk about the so-called faith-based initiative that's being pushed by the Bush administration. And one of the things that's kind of being overlooked there is, obviously religious organizations with their own private money can hire whomever they choose. If it's a Christian church and they don't want to hire non-Christians, well, no one's going to seriously challenge that. But when you bring taxpayer money into the picture, that kind of thing changes. And what we have seen happen in a couple of states is you have large social service ministries that are run by churches with taxpayer dollars that are serving the public at large. Yet they're saying to people, you're fired because you're the wrong religion, or you're fired because your lifestyle offends us. You won't come to Bible study, so you're fired. And that sort of thing with public money, I think, is completely inappropriate. At any other business, you know, if a secular or a private business did that, they fired you because you went to the wrong church, they'd find themselves in a lot of hot water very quickly. So why should a religious group be able to do that when it's operating with tax money?
So when Roberto Gonzalez says that this First Freedoms Project is about the going after abuses of religious liberties, is he going after the people that are suing these churches that want to put an ad out saying no Buddhists, no Jews, no Muslims need apply?
Well, what he's doing is he's siding with the right of religious groups to actually do that. There have been some cases where people have been fired from jobs or turned down right out of the box, you know, because they were the so-called, quote, wrong religion. And they've gone to the courts and sought to correct that. And unfortunately, the U.S. Justice Department, instead of siding with those people who have been the victims of discrimination, is siding with this alleged right of religious groups to engage in that type of discrimination. And what's really exasperating about it is, in this report, which, as you point out, is quite long, they actually do deal with some legitimate cases of religious discrimination. I mean, there have been some unfortunate instances of that in the country where, you know, a Muslim group or a Buddhist group or what have you might be trying to build a religious facility and people try to stop them because they don't like the religion or they don't understand it. Well, okay, that's fine. The Justice Department comes in and helps those people, and that's all right. But then they turn around and act like religious groups have the right to take your tax money and discriminate in hiring people. And that's where we have to draw the line and say that's an entirely different situation.
But and if I'm understanding this correctly, Rob, what we're seeing is a choice being made by our government because Roberto Gonzalez has the authority to decide which side of the issue that he's going to weigh in on. And we have a choice being made by our government, this administration, that we choose to use taxpayers' money to defend the right of a religious organization to take taxpayers' money and deny another taxpayer access to that money by virtue of whatever religion they're a member of.
Yes, exactly. And I think you would find that a different administration would have an entirely different view on that question.
And a different pursuit of that question. If a lawsuit was filed, they would be on the side of the people that were discriminated against.
Yes, they absolutely would. I mean, this is one of those areas that people may not realize. The Justice Department has the right to weigh in on these cases.
And pick the side.
And they can do it at the Supreme Court and at the lower level. The one thing that's kind of interesting, though, that people may not realize is that in the past, the Justice Department tended not to act unless a question were considered, you know, pretty high level, very compelling, of national interest.
Like making it to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, exactly, like a Supreme Court case or some kind of an issue that really had some sort of national importance to it. Yet now we're seeing them going around, and this report talks about meddling in things that really they shouldn't be involved in. One example is the state of Florida, where they've had a big fight over private school vouchers. Now, the Supreme Court of the state of Florida has ruled the vouchers unconstitutional, saying they violate Florida's own constitution. Yet the Justice Department is weighing in on that case, trying to tell the Supreme Court of Florida that it doesn't have the right to interpret its own state constitution.
And that's kind of a chilling impact, too, isn't it, for the feds to come down and begin that type of posturing and meddling and insertion of self.
Well, it's also hypocritical because this is an administration that tells us constantly that decisions are best made at the local level, that if states want to engage in certain activities, there shouldn't be a lot of federal interference. So here's the state Supreme Court saying, look, we've looked at our own state constitution. We can see what the language says. We don't think these vouchers pass the test.
That hardly sounds like the promotion of states' rights.
Well, it doesn't.
We're going to continue our conversation. We're talking to Rob Boston, Assistant Director of Communications for Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. And we're talking about the Justice Department's so-called First Freedom Project. My name is Liz Brown. You don't want to miss this conversation. Stay with us.
As an educator, having taught for 15 years in the military and 2 years at Harris Stowe, I feel that I have some degree of qualifications to assess the educational process. I would like to share with you my position on the state takeover of St. Louis Public Schools. I'm a product of St. Louis Public Schools. My son graduated from Cleveland, my oldest daughter is a seventh grader at Bunch, and my youngest attends Kennard as a first grader. There are some that suggest that I support a state takeover of our school system. Well, here's the truth. I do not support a takeover of our school system by the state. Having children within the district would make no sense for me to support such a drastic measure that would cause a hardship not only on the district, but on our community. If the district is good enough for me to send my children to it, then it's good enough to be led by elected members of our community. Be careful who you get your messages from. They may be less than honest. Vote for truth. Vote for me, Jeffrey Boyd, on Tuesday, March 6th.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jeffrey L. Boyd, Patrice A. Johnson Boyd, Treasurer.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing. 602-1047.
Hey, girl. You made it just in time. Pastor's getting ready to start.
Girl, I really needed to be here this Sunday.
What happened?
You didn't hear?
Uh-uh.
Well, last week, Jennifer Florida, you know, the older woman?
Mm-hmm.
Her son went into the hospital for brain surgery.
Oh, my God. How is he?
12 or 13. But that's not the worst part. Girl, the worst part is that a bunch of aldermen went up to Jim Shrewsbury, and they asked him to say a special prayer for the child. Because, you know, they always start their meetings with a prayer.
That's right. They asked a special prayer, too.
Yeah, well, not last week. Because that Jim Shrewsbury said no.
What? He said no to a child having brain surgery?
Girl, that's right. And they said it's just because Jennifer Florida and her ward endorsed Lewis Reed for president of the Board of Aldermen.
Lord, I'm going to have to pray for Jim Shrewsbury.
Well, I'm going to pray for him, too. But I'm certainly not going to vote for him.
Amen to that.
Paid for by the Sixth Ward Progressive Democrats, Paul Shannon, Treasurer. Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq?
If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
I am 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. As your alderman, I have listened to you and heard your call. You wanted to see your tax dollars spent in your community. I have answered by allocating more than $180,000 for new sidewalks, street repairs, and pavement. You wanted to stabilize your community. I have answered by building 600 new homes, totaling over $126 million, and closing down nuisance property. On Tuesday, March 6th, answer the call. Re-elect me, Frank Williamson, 26th Ward Alderman, committed to continue to answer to you. Paid for by committee to re-elect Frank Williamson, Thamel Williamson Treasurer.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Rob Boston. He is with the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about this so-called First Freedoms Project by the unveiled by the Justice Department. And Rob, can we glean anything from who's running the First Freedoms Project and also the way that the First Freedoms Project was, I guess, unveiled? Can we glean anything from that?
Absolutely, you can. This project was announced by Attorney General Gonzalez at a meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention these days is, of course, extremely conservative, very far to the right. So this is almost like announcing this initiative before a meeting of some religious right organization or of, you know, something like that. He could have unveiled this before a more moderate religious body or several religious groups at different points in the perspective, but he didn't.
But is it appropriate for him to have unveiled it in front of any religious groups?
Well, you know, a lot of the project does deal, obviously, with the so-called protection of religious freedom, so I don't blame him for doing that, but I think is a little bit misguided.
But don't you run the risk, if you're saying that this is about religious freedoms, protecting it by choosing any one religious group? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do understand what you're saying. I think it's very valid. I would rather have seen this unveiled in a way that brought all Americans into the discussion instead of behaving as if this is only something that the far right is going to be concerned about. The project is run by a man named Eric Treen, who for a number of years worked for an organization here in Washington called the Beckett Fund, which is very conservative and promotes, you know, kind of the religious right view of how church and state ought to interact. So I do think there are some concerns here that this appears to be something that's being used as a PR stunt to keep the religious right happy. I mean, you have to remember about one thing about the Bush administration. Their support has just collapsed. You can see that in the polls. You can see it in the election results from last year. The one sort of faction that still remains in good graces with this administration and is still supportive of it is the super far right, the religious right. And lately, the administration's been bringing them into the White House and having special meetings with these people, trying to shore up that kind of last pillar of support. So I see this unveiling before a major right-wing organization as yet another sop to those folks. We agree with you.
Some would use the term pandering.
Yeah, absolutely. I would use that too. Absolutely. To unveil this at a meeting of a group like this, sure, it's pandering.
And should we be at all troubled, Rob, that the Attorney General for the whole United States granted an exclusive interview to Pat Robertson, who asked for the execution of the president of Venezuela? Are we in La La Land? Is this just kind of, should we be troubled by this?
Yeah, again, this is a bad judgment call. There are any number of legitimate news outlets the Attorney General could have turned to unveil this announcement.
And grant an exclusive interview. Because in the media world, I'm here to tell you that exclusive interviews are the lifeblood, and it brings legitimacy to you as an industry, that you're you as an individual or as an organization, if you're able to land an exclusive, and you're chosen for a lot of reasons.
Yes, well, CNN, I'm sure, would have loved to have had this, and any other number of media outlets. The first place he turns to is Pat Robertson's Christian Broadcasting Network. So, yeah, it does tell you something right there about what's going on and how this is being handled.
And back to the piece on vouchers, because that is a huge issue here in the state of Missouri, and we're not unlike a number of different states where the right is, they're calling it tax credits here in Missouri, but a voucher by any other name is still a voucher. It is part of this First Freedom Project, the idea of pushing vouchers using our tax money to pay for private schools' inability to get enough students to run their schools.
Yes, exactly. And that's an area that it's been extremely controversial all around the country, everywhere it's been raised. And some states are experimenting with them, but it is controversial, and there certainly is not widespread public agreement that providing that type of aid promotes religious freedom. Some of us feel exactly the opposite. That's what's so shocking about this report is you'll see something in it that is fairly non-controversial, like the idea that a house of worship should be able to build in an area where the zoning laws allow that. I think most Americans would agree with that. The right that religious groups should be able to go about their business without being harassed. Very few people are going to disagree with that. And then all of a sudden, you'll see something about vouchers in this report, and it'd be like, whoa, you know, that's an entirely separate issue that is extremely controversial, not one where you find broad public support.
And I have a question off topic because it came up earlier in my show. We have a controversy here in the city of St. Louis where a president of the Board of Aldermen refused to grant a prayer, and this prayer is how our aldermanic meetings start, refused to grant a prayer to a woman whose child was going into the hospital for her brain surgery because he was mad at her for endorsing the guy running against him. What is the history of being able to do prayer like that in a governmental body, because we do it up in the White House? They have chaplains that we've hired. And, I mean, in the Senate and in the House, we hire chaplains at taxpayers' money. How is that permissible if we are a country that believes in the separation of church and state?
Yes, there was a famous Supreme Court case back in 1983 called Marsh versus Chambers that dealt with legislative chaplains. It was a challenge from the state of Nebraska. And the Supreme Court upheld the chaplains, saying, well, they have a long history in this country. You know, the first Congress had a chaplain, and we've had chaplains ever since, and this sort of thing. So they have sort of been grandfathered in to the process. And a lot of municipal governments, to go down a step, looked at that decision and have been using prayers before their meetings. Now, we have been involved in a couple of cases where communities were, say, always using a Christian prayer or always using highly sectarian prayers, and we've managed to persuade them to be a little more inclusive or be a little more generic in their language. So that's where things kind of stand right now. But the story you tell is interesting because it shows how sometimes when you get into this business of having chaplains or prayers before government meetings, whether on purpose or not, the prayers can sometimes take on a political cast, which I think is completely inappropriate for a religious exercise.
And as so far, insofar as your organization, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, what would be your position on prayers opening governmental bodies' meetings and chaplains?
We would prefer there to be a moment of silence instead, but if there are going to be prayers, they should be inclusive. If there's a situation where guest ministers are used, it should reflect the entire religious diversity of the community, not just be one section used over and over again.
And back to the piece of our discussion here on the First Freedom Project introduced by the Justice Department. So where do we go from here? What is the status? This was introduced on February 20th. Where are we now?
Well, this is something we're obviously going to have to keep an eye on. This project has actually been going on for a number of years, and now the Attorney General is saying that they're going to be even more aggressive over the next couple of years. So I think it behooves us all to watch what they mean by that. One good thing about the sort of change in politics in Washington is that there's more opportunity for oversight. If the Democrats feel the administration is overstepping its bounds in a certain area, they can do things to try to rein that in, and we'll be asking them to.
And does this really kind of provide a bit of chum for the religious right when they're looking to what have you done for me lately, baby, from this administration? this administration can point to, well, we gave you the first Freedom Project. See, we're really working on your issues.
Yeah, absolutely, because the religious right's not happy with the failure of the same-sex marriage amendment and some other things. So this is a little scrap they can throw to them and say, well, maybe that didn't work out, but we gave you this project, and isn't it great?
And we gave you exclusive interviews, and we introduced it at your convention, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, exactly.
Rob Boston, where can people go to check out Americans United for Separation of Church and State?
Just come see us at au.org on the web. Check us out there.
Rob Boston, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. It's election day. I'm going to be riding the polls, checking stuff out all day long today. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the morning after the night before. So, I'm Liz Brown. Thanks for listening, and you know the drill. Stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sustain?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are